This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents Shielding Lily by Alexa Riley, performed by Lori West and Hunter Milbrook. Chapter 1. Lily. The sounds of banging cabinets startle me awake before my alarm can go off. Rolling over to my side, I see I still have 30 minutes before I need to get up. I'd set my alarm a little earlier than I should have, because I'm nervous about my first day. I'm going to a new school, and have no idea what this one is going to be like. You never know what you're going to get. Most of the time I can blend in and let myself get lost in the crowd of other students. No one notices me, for the most part, but it doesn't always work. I should be used to changing schools by now. I think this is the fourth time I've moved in the past 2 years. The schools are starting to run together, but I hope this is the last. Only months separate me from graduation and only days from my 18th birthday. I'll be able to make my own choices then. A sound of something shattering in the kitchen, followed by a string of curses, causes me to hold my breath. I can only hope he doesn't call out my name. Monday mornings are the worst. Dad's always coming off a weekend bender, because alcohol seems to be my father's reason for living. It wasn't always like this, but it is now. Taking a deep breath to calm my nerves, I slowly sit up and listen for his movements. Things have been getting unstable lately, and it's only getting worse. Dad used to be able to drown his sorrows in the bottom of a bottle and pretend I didn't exist. But recently, his anger has been rising and flying my way. I'm constantly walking around on eggshells, waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the look in his eyes, but I can see it. I can feel it deep inside me, like he's waiting for me to do something wrong so he can strike out. But I always make sure there isn't a reason. I desperately don't want that change to come. I'm a skittish rabbit in my own home. When I finally hear the front door slam closed, all my muscles release, and an all-too-familiar tension within me relaxes. I pull myself from the bed and get ready for school. I go with a short button-up blue jean dress with wool leggings underneath. They're soft and warm and will help with the chill on my mile-long walk to school. It's early January, and the Minnesota winter is raging. The more layers I can put on, the better. Looking in the mirror, I part my hair a little to the side so more falls to the right, before putting in a small clip to hold it in place. I make sure the scar by my ear is hidden as much as possible. And then I look myself over, double-checking everything. The scar is all I ever see when I look in the mirror. It's the bitter reminder of the day that changed my world. My mom might have died in the car, but she dragged my father with her into the grave. Nothing has been the same since that day. Now when I look into the mirror, the scar isn't the first thing I see. I see my mother. When I was unpacking boxes last night, I pulled out a photo album of my parents when they were younger. I look just like her at my age, from my white blonde hair to my two big blue eyes that take over my face, to my front teeth that are a little bigger than the rest, and my small upturned nose. We almost look like twins in pictures of us at the same age. Reaching out, I touch the mirror, wishing it was my mother. But all the wishing in the world can't turn back the clock. I spent the first year after she died wishing for so many things. Wishing gets you nowhere. I wipe at the tear that somehow escaped. I miss when I looked in the mirror and I only saw the scar. It was easier to deal with. Grabbing my bag, I head downstairs knowing the mess my dad made will still be there. Since my mom died, I've sort of taken her place when it comes to the household chores. I make sure everything is kept clean, The laundry is done, the dinner is on the table before my dad gets home from whatever job he is doing. Normally, it's some kind of security, since he lost his badge after one too many DWIs. I don't know how he can drink all night and still get up for work, but he does it. I finish cleaning up the shattered coffee mug from the floor and make sure everything else is in its place. I pull a pack of hamburger meat out of the freezer and sit it out on the stove to defrost. I'll make something with it when I get home. Bundling up the best I can, I pray that the weather won't be too bad when school finally lets out. I need to see about finding a job on the weekends. Maybe I can fill out most of the applications online during lunch at the school library. I've seen a few small places in town that are on my way to school. I can see about popping in and applying on my way home. They'd be the best bet, being so close. Maybe I'd get lucky, could even work a few hours after school, making it home before Dad. Dad will never go for me working through the week, if it means no dinner on the table. But the weekends he seems okay with. I've been pooling every penny I can and saving it away. I feel like time is running out, and I need as much money as I can get to try and get a place of my own. I want to be able to afford college next year and to put a roof over my head. I have to get out of here. I can't watch my father kill himself. I already watched my mother die.
Chapter 2. Wren. My mom comes in my room asking me to help shovel the driveway so she can get her car out. I roll out of bed and manage a quick shower before throwing on some jeans and a long-sleeved Henley. I grab my big winter boots and coat, and I go outside and see my dad working up a sweat. I don't say anything. I just walk over and take the shovel from him and go back to the area where he was working.
Thanks, Wren. I'll make you something to eat.
He pats me on the back, and I finish up as my mom is ready to leave for work. She's an emergency room nurse who works what they call 3-12s, 3 days of 12-hour shifts, then off for four. She's been doing it for almost 20 years, so I know even when she complains, she loves her job. My dad owns the hardware store in town, and everybody loves him. He's the kind of man I hope to be one day, if I ever figure out how. My mom backs out of the garage and stops in front of me to roll down her window.
Dinner's in the fridge, with a note on how long to cook it.
She turns her head to the side, and I try to fight a smile.
Knock your mom a kiss and get inside. It's colder than your grandma Grace.
I lean in, giving her a kiss, and shake my head. Grace died 10 years ago.
Like I said.
She winks at me and rolls the window up, backing out and driving away. When I get inside, I see Dad has left me some eggs and oatmeal on the counter. I sit down and eat all of it, thinking that I could probably go for seconds. Looking at my watch, I see I've got about 20 minutes before I need to leave for school, but I remember I need to get gas. Dad comes in wearing his khakis and work sweater with Hendrix Hardware embroidered on the breast.
I'm heading out. You going to be home after school?
I nod and grab my backpack. I hear him sigh, but I don't say anything. I don't want to start right now because I need to be on my way.
Wren,
he says, and I know that tone. I wait, and sure enough, he has something to say.
Football season is over, and you've got a great scholarship to Minnesota in the fall. Your mom and I are so proud of you, son. I just want to make sure you're doing what it is you want to do, and that you're not playing football because you feel like you have to.
I shrug because I know what he means. I'm happy to play ball, Dad. I'll be able to get a good education there. That's all I'm worried about. He reaches out and rubs my shoulder.
Okay, you've got time if you decide to change your mind.
He smiles at me and I smile back.
So, any idea who you're going to take to the winter formal?
I roll my eyes and walk past him. I think he used the football talk as an excuse to bring it up.
Again.
My dad follows me and I can hear his words over the snow I'm crunching under my boots.
Just asking, Wren. No big deal.
Sure. No big deal that you can't stop worrying about if I'm dating or not. I climb in my Jeep Wrangler and wave to my dad. They wonder why I don't talk much, and it's mostly because I can't get a word in around the two of them. As I drive to the gas station, I think about high school and how they think I'm missing out on a key piece of the experience by not dating. I'm not interested in any of the girls, or guys for that matter, at school. I'm an 18-year-old straight-A student who plays center for the West High Wolves, and I'm focusing on my future. I'm friends with a couple of the guys in my grade, but overall, I'm a loner. I've enjoyed being that way for so long that even playing football doesn't have the same luster it used to. I've always been a big kid, so my parents put me in sports, hoping to socialize me. I succeeded at every ball they put in my hands, but still remained the same. I'm quiet for the most part, and when I speak, it's because I have something to say. The girls at school think that makes me stuck up, but I can't be bothered to care. If that's what they think, then I'm better off skipping the winter formal and leaving high school without the experience. I catch the sight of someone walking on the side of the road as I pull into the gas station. It takes me a second to realize it's a woman bundled up in a big jacket. The leggings showing below her heavy coat give it away. I think about stopping and asking if she needs some help, but the gas station is literally 30 feet from where I spot her. I jump out and start the gas, trying to get the damn thing to come on. It's cold out, and it's pumping like molasses. Looking around, I try to spot the woman again, but I don't see her. Hopefully she made it inside and isn't stuck out in the cold. I don't know why I'm worried about it, but I guess there's something in me that's protective in that way. My mom said I had a tender heart as a kid, always rescuing animals I found. When the gas finally clicks, I finish up and hop back in the Jeep. I blow on my hands, trying to warm them up before I drive away. As I'm leaving, I catch sight in my rear view of the woman coming out of the store. I don't know why, but the sight lingers in the back of my mind the whole way to school.
Chapter 3. Lily. I pick at my torn leggings as I sit in the main office of the high school. At least I'm not bleeding. But falling on the steps on your first day at a new school isn't the way I wanted to start. I can still feel the burn of embarrassment on my cheeks. But maybe no one noticed. At least, no one really seemed to. Not even the girl who'd shoved me, nor her friend. Except for a few giggles, no one really said anything. Sitting back in my chair, I wait for someone to help me. I was told to take a seat, and they'd have my class schedule shortly, along with someone to show me around. That was 20 minutes ago. I glance around the office. It looks like it's decorated for a party. Gold and red balloons and ribbons line the walls, as well as posters that read number one state champs. I'm guessing they're about football. The last school I was in didn't have a team, but this school is about four times bigger. It gives me hope that I'll be able to blend in and fade into the background, going unnoticed. Left alone. At least we won't freeze our tits off anymore. I glance up at the voice and see a brunette in a cheerleading outfit and a high ponytail. She's talking to another girl who looks exactly the same, only her hair is red and curly. It's the two girls who knocked me down this morning. They acted like I was invisible, so at least that part of my plan is working. That's the only plus side to cheering for the basketball team here. The games are inside. There aren't even any good ones to look at. The redhead pouts a little, and I look down, hoping they won't take notice of me. I go back to playing with the hole in my leggings. Hey, did you hear Ren got a full ride to Minnesota? Brent hasn't even gotten an offer yet, and he's the freaking quarterback. The brunette says in a horrified voice. I heard he's been going up there on the weekends or something. Probably up there getting his dick wet, the redhead adds. I feel my face warm for the second time today. Maybe that's how girls talk to each other. I wouldn't know. I haven't had a friend in a long time. And when I did, it was before sex was a blip in our minds. Shit. God, he's such an asshole. But I'm still going to see about getting with him. Being a starting football player's girlfriend will make freshman year of college a cakewalk. Maybe he already has one up there. I can't get him to give me the time of day, Red says, making me wonder who would willingly date an asshole. I asked Brent, and he said no. I told him I was asking about Ren for you so he wouldn't get all pissy about it. You breaking up with Brent? I'll give it another week and see if anything happens with his football stuff. I'm already in at Minnesota, so Ren would work. We all know Brent wouldn't be anything without Ren. Maybe the school will try and pick them both up. God, I bet he's a beast in bed with the way he plays. That alone would be enough to put up with him being an asshole. I wish a hole in the ground would open and swallow me up. I don't want to hear any of this. I know these types of girls can be the hardest on you in school, and I'm praying they don't notice me. I scoot back in my chair, wanting to take up as little space as possible. Kristen, you were supposed to be here at 8 sharp, an older woman with short gray hair says, coming from one of the back rooms in the main office. She's the one who greeted me when I came in. The bell rings and she looks to the redhead. Carrie, class. I look up to see Carrie mutter a goodbye to Kristen, then leave the office. Her curls bounce with her every step. Her cheerleading skirt waves around her butt cheeks. Sorry, Mrs. White. It took me longer to get the snow off my car this morning than I thought it would, Kristen says in a super sweet voice. Nothing like the one she had moments ago when talking to her friend. I hope I haven't kept anyone waiting too long. It's important that all new students at West High get the best first day possible. She says it like she's pitching some kind of campaign for the school. You've lived here your whole life. I think you know how long it takes to get the snow off your car. Mrs. White's not buying what Kristen is selling. A knot starts to form in my stomach. This girl is my tour person for part of the day. Lily is behind you, and here is her schedule. You both have the same first class, so get a move on. I already let Mr. Cole know you'd be a little late. Kristen turns to look at me, and her pretty face scrunches for a fraction of a second before she smooths her expression. She plasters on her fake smile, making me wonder if she remembers me from this morning. Welcome, she says in a half squeal, making Mrs. White roll her eyes. I can see why she's a cheerleader. She can really flip that pep on and off. Hi, is all I say as I stand, grabbing my backpack. I still have on my coat, having shoved all my other winter stuff like my hat and gloves into my backpack. They don't have a locker ready for me yet. I'm Kristen. She reaches out her hand and I take it. I'm student body president and captain of the cheerleading squad. She says it like she's a politician. I'm Lily Parker. I tell her, because that's all I am. I don't have a list of things to trail behind it. Not that anyone would care about it. It's nice to meet you. Let's get to our first class, then I can show you around. I follow her out of the main office and down the hall. Her mood changes the instant we are out of the office, and she hands me my schedule. She doesn't give me another glance or say another word until we enter a classroom. The whole room goes quiet, and I swallow. I keep my eyes down the best I can and pray for it to be over quickly. Sorry, got stuck in the main office, Kristen says. It's fine, Kristen. Welcome, Lily. Please find a seat anywhere. We've already started, the teacher says. Thanks, I tell him, glancing towards the rows of desks filled with students. I go straight for the back of the room. There's one empty seat, and I grab it, dropping my backpack and taking my seat. When I glance to my left, I see a man that can't possibly be a student sitting next to me. He's a freaking giant, and he's staring right at me.
Chapter 4. Ren. The new girl walks in, and I recognize her. Well, not her, but her coat. She's the woman I saw walking this morning. I wonder if that's why she's late. Maybe she had car trouble. I can't get a good look at her since her head is down, but that's her. I don't catch what Mr. Cole says to her, but I see Kristen give me a look and a wink before she takes her seat. But I don't pay her any attention because the new girl has all of it. She walks down the aisle right beside where I'm sitting and takes the empty desk next to me. I sit up and look over at her, watching as she takes her coat off. She's small, and I wonder for a second if she skipped a couple of grades. My eyes trail down what I can see and check her out. She's probably only 5 feet tall, with wavy white blonde hair. She fumbles with the buttons of her jacket, and I wonder if her hands are cold. Something in me wants to reach over and hold them so they warm up. She's wearing a jean dress, and my eyes trail down her legs, seeing the knee of her leggings are torn. Then I start to wonder if she fell, because I can see a small scratch where the fabric is missing. At least she's wearing winter boots, and I don't have to worry about her feet. As my eyes move back up to her face, she turns her head and looks at me. I feel my pulse speed up as our eyes connect and we stare at one another. Her big blue eyes are doe-like, so perfect and round with thick black lashes around them. Her cheeks are pink and her lips are rosy, and I have the incredible urge to kiss them. I've never felt this kind of attraction to anyone before, and it takes me by surprise. She looks away nervously, and I realize I've been staring at her like a creep for a solid minute. I feel bad that I made her nervous, and I want to make it right. Sitting up in my chair, I lean towards her and whisper as quietly as I can, "Hey." She looks at me, and then looks up at the teacher. My eyes glance in Mr. Cole's direction, but he's in his own world, giving a lecture about King Lear and the importance of Shakespeare. He's not so much as spoken 10 words to me in the past 6 months, and I doubt he's going to start now. Seeing that the teacher doesn't notice anything, she looks over at me in confusion. "You okay?" I say, looking down at her knee. I don't want to go full stalker on her and tell her I saw her on the side of the road, but I have this overwhelming desire to make sure she's all right. She reaches down with one hand, covering the tear in her tights, and nods at me. After a silent moment, I see her pull out a notebook and pen. She opens them up and starts to take notes. I lean back in my seat, clearly dismissed, but I keep my eyes on her. I watch every movement of her small fingers and the way she holds her pen. She's left-handed, and for some reason, I like that. Occasionally, she pulls a strand of hair away from her face, and I look on with fascination. I want to ask her questions, which is weird because normally I avoid talking to anyone. It's not that I'm not interested in things. I can just usually find them out for myself. Small talk with assholes in the locker room who compare the girls they fucked, or girls who try to get with me because of what I can provide for them, don't interest me. And yet, for some reason, this girl has my attention. She seems like she needs someone to watch out for her, and I'm starting to take a personal interest in that. Before I know it, the bell rings, and I realize I've been staring at her the whole time. I sit up and move closer to her, intending to ask her a question when I'm nearly hit in the face by a cheerleading uniform.
"Hi, Ren. Looking good today. Want to sneak off campus with me for lunch? I was thinking of hitting Joe's for a burger,"
Kristen says, leaning down towards me. "No, thanks." I stand up and grab my backpack, trying to move around her.
"You sure? We could take the afternoon off, and you can take a spin behind my new Mercedes. My dad got it for me for my 18th birthday last week. I'm legal now."
She winks at me, but it does nothing to make me want to go with her. Besides not wanting her, that car is impractical in this kind of weather. "No," I grit out, wanting Kristen to get lost. The blonde stands up and grabs her coat, and I don't know how much more time I have. "Hey, I'm Ren." Her big blue eyes meet mine for a second, and then she looks down.
"Lily."
The one word is spoken so softly and sweetly I almost don't hear it.
"Yeah, this is Lily Parker, the new girl. Must really suck starting a new school halfway through the year."
Kristen says and elbows her like they're best friends.
Want to walk with us to our next class, Ren? We can drop her off, and you can walk me to Spanish.
I want to say no, because I don't want to go with Kristen. But I do want to talk to Lily. She looks at Kristen and then up to me before looking away quickly. She's silent, so I nod, and Kristen bounces on her feet.
Sweet. Let's get out of here.
I walk out beside Lily and see her pull out a piece of paper. I see it's a class schedule, and I try to read it as we walk. Kristen is talking, but I don't pay attention to what she's saying. I just keep watching Lily for even the smallest movements. I reach to Lily and hold my hand out and wait for her to give me her schedule. She hesitates for a second and then hands it to me. I see we've both got advanced calculus next. After that, we've got lunch, then physics, and a free last period. I smile at her and hand it back, wondering how I got so fucking lucky. I'll take her, Kristen. We've got the same schedule today. I see a ghost of a smile on Lily's lips, and we fall into step together. When we walk down another hall, I realize that Kristen left us at some point without my noticing.
Thanks for showing me around,
Lily says softly and holds her jacket to her chest. Sure. I grab the door and hold it open for her as she walks through. I point to the seats in the back.
Is there always an empty seat next to you?
She asks as she drops her bag down beside her. Not anymore.
Chapter 5. Lily. I can feel his eyes on me through class. My normally downcast eyes have to fight to stay that way, because I want to look at him. I try to concentrate on what the teacher is saying and follow along as he maps out the math problem on the board. But all I manage to do is copy his work from the smart board onto my paper. All his words going in one ear and out the other. I give in and glance over at Ren, and he gives me a half smile, showing off his perfect teeth. I snap my head back down to my paper, and all the numbers on the page look like a freaking mess. I hear him move his desk a little closer to mine. The thing lets out a groan, and I have to bite my lip to keep from smiling. I'm not sure how he fits in it. Ren isn't small by any means. He doesn't look like a high school student, although he still has some softness in his face that is partially obscured by stubble. I know he's the same guy Kristen and Carrie were talking about in the office this morning. The one who got the football scholarship they all were wanting a piece of. He definitely looks like he belongs on a football field, snapping people in half and bursting through walls of bodies. But even with his size, for some odd reason, I'm not intimidated by him. In fact, he put me at ease when he offered to take me to the next class. When the bell finally rings, I stand and put everything away in my bag, wondering what to do next. I know I need to find the library. Looking over, I see Ren does the same, but he reaches down and grabs my coat. Lunch? He asks. I reach to take my coat from his hands, but he shakes his head, and then takes my backpack from me, too. No, I'm not going to lunch, I protest, wanting to go to the library instead. I don't like to waste my money on food if I don't have to. Lunch is a meal I can skip. I need to see about finding some kind of job or something. I try to take my coat from him, giving a little tug. It only makes him smile even more at me. His dark brown eyes are filled with humor, and I can tell what he's thinking. No way I'm getting this thing from him unless he wants to hand it over. I stare up at him, still not a lick of unease within me, even with him dwarfing me. You have to eat. You're tiny. My cheeks warm, feeling a little embarrassed at being criticized. It's something I should be used to by now, but it still hurts.
I don't mean it like that. I just mean you're small, and you can't get any smaller.
He fumbles over his words.
Shit, I didn't mean it like that either.
I crack a smile at how flustered he becomes. I shrug and try to explain. I'm sure you eat in one meal what I probably eat in a whole week. I tease him, knowing he wasn't trying to be rude with his comment.
I want him to know it's fine. I don't think he's used to being uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is the story of my life. I always feel that way. Come on. He grabs my hand, wrapping his fingers with mine and pulling me from the class. He walks a little too fast for me to keep up, so I have to double step so I don't trip. Where's your locker? He asks as I try to keep pace with him. He looks back and down at me, slowing his speed and mumbling an apology. He doesn't let go of my hand, though. In fact, he tightens his hold. I have to spread my fingers wide to fit his between them. They're getting me one. He stops suddenly, and I almost run into him, but catch myself at the last second. Sorry, I have to be more careful with you. He says it like he thinks he might break me or something. This is my locker. Our locker. He lets go of my hand, ripping some football decorations off the front of the locker before rolling them into a ball and throwing it into a trash can across the hall. 12, 34, 17. He says to me as he turns the dial, then opens the locker door. He puts my coat inside and looks at me. Anything else you want to put in here? Make your backpack lighter? Never mind, I'll just carry it. You remember the number? He looks down at me and I stare at him. He's all-consuming, and it's different having someone look after me. Or at least, that's what it feels like he's doing. Looking out for me on my first day at a new school. Forget it. I'll be with you. You don't need to remember the combination. 12-34-17. I repeat them back to him. Do you always answer your own questions? My words surprise him. No. He cocks his head to the side like he's thinking. Then he grabs my hand again, pulling me with him. Your hands are warm now? His thumb grazes along my hand, like he's testing the temperature for himself. I'm fine.
You shouldn't be walking to school. A good wind would blow you over.
How do you know I trail off when I realize we're now in the lunchroom. Students turn to look at us. People whisper, and a knot forms in the bottom of my stomach. I don't like when people stare. I feel my breathing pick up, and I try to pull my hand from Ren's, but his hold is unbreakable. He leads me to a table.
Sit here. I'll go get our food.
There's no question in his words. He drops both our bags on the ground next to me and turns to leave. I glance around the room, seeing everyone is still looking, the whispers growing louder. I reach up and smooth my hair on the side that is covering up my scar, making sure no one can see it. I debate grabbing my bag and making a run for it.
Chapter 6. Ren. I keep a watch on her out of the corner of my eye as I go to the line and grab two trays. I can see her indecision from here, and I know if I don't hurry, she's going to ditch me. Luckily, the ladies here know me and load me up. I'm quiet, but they know I can put away food, so two trays isn't unusual for me. Lily fidgets and then moves her hand to her bag. She looks over to me, and I stare her down, telling her with a look not to move. I can't protect her if she runs from me, and God knows where she would end up if she got lost. Our high school is huge, and I hate the thought of her being lost and alone. I nod to her, letting her know I'm almost finished, and she takes her hand off her bag and places it in her lap. I walk to the end of the line, and they ring up my food and charge my school badge. My parents put money in an account for me at the school, and the cost of it is taken from that balance. I help my dad at the hardware store some nights and on the weekends in the off-season to earn money, so if I need to add extra to the school account, I can. But I'm not worried about making sure Lily has enough to eat. She will have whatever she damn well wants. I take the trays over to where she's sitting and place them both in front of us and sit beside her. I could easily sit across from her, but I want to be as close to her as I can. I feel like my body is so much bigger than hers, so I can shield her from something if necessary. These thoughts about protecting her keep popping in my head, and I don't know where they come from. I've never felt so strongly about someone so instantly, but the need is overwhelming. What are you in the mood for? I ask, nudging a fry towards her.
This is a ton of food. Let me give you some money.
She starts to reach in her bag, but I place my hand over hers and bring it back to my lap. Don't worry about it. Whatever you don't eat, I will. So you better pick something before it's gone. She smiles at me and it hits me right in the chest. It's more powerful than any hit I've taken playing football. How can she have this effect on me? She looks at the food and takes the plate with a slice of pizza and scoots it closer to her. I'm still holding her other hand in my lap, so with my free hand I grab one of the Cokes and place it in front of her, following it with an order of fries. After that, I grab the brownie and set it beside it, and she waves her hand.
That's enough. I'm good.
She laughs and looks up at me through her lashes.
We can share.
She pushes the brownie between us, and the thought of sharing with her sounds intimate. I grab one of the three burgers and take a bite while she does the same with her pizza. Neither of us takes our hand away while we eat. It's as if we've been doing this for longer than a few hours, and I have no desire to stop it. She leans over to me, and she speaks so softly I can barely hear what she's saying.
People are whispering.
I look around the room for what feels like the first time in forever. Normally, I don't really pay attention to my surroundings when I'm in the cafeteria. I grab an empty seat, eat, and leave. Sometimes I'll read in the quad before my next class, but that's about it. I catch a few stares before people turn away, but I look at Lily and shake it off. People usually do that when I'm around. Just ignore it. It's not you.
Why do you think it's you?
She asks, genuine curiosity in her voice. Because I don't talk much, and I keep to myself. I shrug and go back to eating.
You've talked to me, and you don't know me.
I stop and think about that for a second. She's right, but I don't know how to explain it so that I don't sound crazy. My whole life, my dad has said I've been a natural talent at whatever I do. I'm smart, so I make straight A's. I'm athletic, so I've got a full ride to college. But he's told me over and over that I need to find my passion. That one day I'll find something that I can't live without, and that's what I should do with my life. Looking at Lily, her big blue doe eyes meeting mine, I feel something in my heart change. I think I've found something I'm passionate about. You're special, I whisper, and tuck a loose strand of hair behind her ear. She ducks her head, but I see the blush on her cheeks before she turns away. We sit in comfortable silence for a bit until I force her to eat another slice of pizza and half a cheeseburger and fries before she finally gives in.
I'm going to die. I can't eat any more, she says,
trying to hold back a laugh. But you've got your dessert stomach, so it's all good.
My what?
She says playfully, and I stifle the urge to pull her into my lap. You know, you've got one stomach for food, and then you've got one stomach for dessert, so no matter how much dinner you eat, there's always room for sweets. I'm telling her the same thing my mom has been saying since I was a kid. I unwrap the brownie and hold it out for her to take a bite. She shakes her head at me, but I wiggle it a little and smile at her. She laughs and leans forward, opening her mouth, and I try not to stare at her full lips as they open and she takes a bite of the corner. I feel her mouth graze my thumb, and it sends heat pulsing down my spine. How did something so innocent and funny turn into something more in a matter of seconds? Don't you two look cozy? I look over and watch Brent take a seat across from us. He tries to pull one of my trays over to him, but I reach out and grab it, pulling it back. He gives me a "what's your problem" look, but then he's distracted by who's beside me. His eyes roam over Lily, and the sneer he gives her infuriates me. I want to hide her and teach this guy some respect. I want to punch my quarterback in the eyes because he doesn't deserve to look at her. Lily tenses next to me, and I need to get her out of here before I do something Brent will regret.
Chapter 7. Lily. I drop my gaze back down to the cafeteria table, fidgeting nervously. I swallow the bite of brownie still in my mouth, but the arrival of the new guy makes it turn to ash. He showed up and popped the little bubble that Ren had made around me. I'd actually forgotten for a moment where we were.
"Fuck off, Brent,"
Ren says, and I tense up even more. Ren moves in closer, like he's trying to shield me from the guy. He laughs at Ren's words, but something about it lets me know that he doesn't think it's funny at all.
"Coach wants to see you,"
he says to Ren, trying to dismiss his attitude.
"Busy,"
Ren fires back in a hard voice. I wonder if they're friends. The way Brent sat down made it seem like they were at first, but Ren seems mad about him being here. Not that I care, because I don't want him here either. Not with the look he gave me when he sat down. It was like I was some kind of bug he wanted to study. Like I don't belong here, and he wants to figure out why I think I do.
"You done?"
Ren asks next to my ear. I nod and I watch as he wraps up the rest of the brownie, then picks up my backpack and puts it in the front pocket. He's saving it for later for me. Feeling awkward and unsure if these two are about to have a fight or something, I look for an exit. I don't want to be in the middle of it if it happens, and I want to see the quickest way out of here.
"Like Coach gives a shit you're out here trying to get laid. You better..."
Ren slams his hand down hard on the cafeteria table, making me jump at the loud bang. It echoes through the room and the whole cafeteria falls silent. I cringe, knowing everyone is looking at us. God, I wish I could disappear. This is not good.
"I think you forget the season's over, Brent. I don't care if you take a hit anymore."
His tone is low but deadly, and sends a streak of fear through me. My father can do that. Switch from nice to not so nice. But normally there's alcohol involved. I grab my bag from Ren's hand and stand up, almost tripping over my own feet. Ren catches me from falling on my ass, and I hear a few laughs, adding to my already sky-high level of embarrassment. This keeps getting worse.
"Easy, sweetheart,"
Ren says, righting me, the hard edge to his voice gone.
I have to go.
I push the words out, turning to leave the cafeteria as fast as I can. I pull my schedule out as I make my way down the hallway, looking for my next class. When I reach the door, I see that Ren has followed me, but is hanging back a few steps. We make eye contact, and he stops moving.
"Wait for me after class,"
he tells me. But I don't respond as I slip into the classroom and take my seat. As more students trickle into the room, I take a few breaths and relax, trying to calm down from the lunchroom drama. After a moment, I pull out my drawing pad and start sketching as I wait for class to start. I remember Ren saying we had the same schedule, but as the class starts, he's nowhere to be seen. I wait, all through class, hoping to see him, but he never shows. Maybe I misunderstood him earlier. After the bell rings, I slip out of the room, blending in with the other students. I don't see him anywhere, and my mind whirls as I remember what happened in the cafeteria at lunch. I think about how different Ren became at the flip of a switch, how different he'd been with me. Maybe he and Brent have issues. I should worry that Ren would be like that with me. He seemed so nice and perfect and made me feel special. He made me feel at ease in a new place, and I'd never had that happen before. Knowing last period is a study hall, I decide to leave. I can turn in the application I grabbed from the gas station I stopped at this morning. I'm not sure the hours will work, but I'm going to see if I can make it happen.
"Lily, wait up!"
a female voice yells. I turn to see Kristen running towards me, her high ponytail bouncing behind her. I stop, manners getting the best of me.
Hey,
she says breathlessly. I saw what happened in the cafeteria. I shrug, because what am I supposed to say to that? I'm not sure what happened in there. She probably has more of an idea than I do. I know Brent and Ren are the boys she and the redhead Carrie were talking about this morning. I wanted to let you know, girl to girl. She steps in closer to me like she's going to tell me a secret. The football boys have this game they play with new girls. She shakes her head like she can't believe they are so immature. They try to see who can nail the new girl first. I would have told you this from the start, but well... She looks me over with that same look Brent gave me, like I'm some weird bug. I didn't think they'd do it with you. You're not really their type. Ouch. The little bit of hope for Ren I'd been carrying slips away. It burns deep. Deeper than it should for someone I've only known for hours. But it's a loss I should be used to. I lose everyone. I should be accustomed to the feeling. But this is a heavy weight on my heart for some reason. I feel a stinging burn behind my eyes. Yeah, thanks for the warning, I tell her, turning to leave. Us girls have to stick together, you know, she says from behind me, and I keep walking. It isn't until I'm outside do I remember I don't have my coat. It's still in Ren's locker, and there is no way I'm going back there to get it. I hope tomorrow I don't have the same classes as him.
Chapter 8. Ren. I drive slow, creeping around the curve and praying I'm headed in the right direction. By the time Coach let me out of his office, my class was over, and I couldn't find Lily anywhere. He wanted to talk to me about my scholarship and practices before I left. I think he's trying to live vicariously through me because he blew out his knee in college. The whole meeting was pointless and irritating, and I couldn't get out fast enough. My heart sank when I realized Lily had ditched study hall, and then it plummeted when I got to my locker and saw her coat still in there. I grabbed it and raced out to the parking lot, thinking she couldn't have had much of a head start on me. Thank God, I say in prayer, and throw my Jeep in park. Grabbing her jacket off the passenger seat, I jump out and call over to her. Lily! She's about to walk into the gas station when she sees me. I wave, but she stays rooted to the spot, and her eyes narrow on me. Something is wrong. I walk over to her and hold out her coat. You forgot this. I asked you to wait. Why'd you leave? She looks down at her feet and then up at me.
You disappeared.
There's hurt in her voice, and it breaks me a little inside. I never want her to think that I wouldn't come for her. I'm sorry, Lily. I got held up talking to my coach. I should have walked out. I didn't mean for you to think I ditched you.
It's fine. Thanks for bringing my coat. I can manage on my own.
She grabs her coat and tries to turn away from me, but I keep a grip on it and don't let her walk away. I'm sorry for the way I behaved at lunch. I saw that it made you nervous, and that's why I kept my distance after. I wanted to give you some space. I don't know that I've ever reacted that way to Brent, or anyone at school for that matter. I normally go all day and hardly say 5 words total, but here I am with you and I can't seem to stop. I try to explain what happened so she's not afraid of me. Brent is an asshole. He doesn't deserve to be around someone as sweet and beautiful as you. I don't trust him around you, and I didn't like the way he was looking at you. I didn't mean to cause a scene, but I felt like I needed to step in.
You talk a lot for someone who says he doesn't say much.
I give her a half smile. It's a first for me, too. I open her coat, and after a second of hesitation, she steps into it. Let me give you a ride home. I zip her coat up for her, pulling up the side collars to make sure it's protecting her, She stares up at me, looking surprised by my actions.
No, I'm okay. I'm going to drop off an application in here and then walk. I'm not too far.
I look up at the gas station and then down the road I saw her walking this morning. She's at least a mile, if not more. Are you looking for a job? I ask, trying to think on my feet.
Yeah. I don't think this one has the right hours, but I'm going to talk to the manager and see what I can work out.
My dad is hiring at his hardware store. It's after school and weekends, depending on how many hours you can work. Her eyes widen, and she bites her lip as she thinks about it.
Where is it?
My pulse picks up speed, thinking she might be interested. It's downtown. I could give you a ride, since I help out there most days. I see her hesitation and clarify for her. Or, if you wanted to walk, it's about the same distance. Either way, he likes to hire kids from the high school. So, if you want the job, you've got it.
Really?
Her smile is big, and for a moment things slip to what they were at lunch.
Absolutely.
Let me take you home, and I'll get your number and tell him to call you. She shifts her weight from foot to foot and then looks back up at me.
I'm not going to sleep with you if that's what you're after. I'm not that kind of girl.
Her words shock me, and I don't like them. Why would you say that? Have I given you the impression that's all I was after? Because regardless of what you might think, I'm not that kind of guy either.
Pink hits her cheeks, and she looks down at the ground and mumbles, Kristen said...
I reach out and touch her chin so she looks back at me.
I don't care what anyone told you. I'm telling you that's not what I'm after. I like you, Lily, and I want to get to know you. Let me take care of you and we can see how things go. Please. Okay.
Her bright blue eyes lock on mine, and I feel a weight lift from my chest. I take her hand, and we walk over to the Jeep. I open the door for her. She's so short, and my Jeep is lifted, so I have to grab her by the waist and lift her into the cab. She lets out a giggle when I do it, and I promise myself to make her do that more often. She tells me how to get to her house, and I pull up out front. It's clean, but smaller than I'd imagined. I don't say anything about it because I can see she's a little wary. We exchange numbers and sit in comfortable silence for a second.
Thank you for today, Ren. You made it a lot better than I anticipated. I appreciate the ride, too.
She grabs her backpack and I get out to help her out of the Jeep. Thanks for today, too, I say, and hold her hand another minute, reluctant to let it go. I'll be here at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, you don't have to...
I'll be here, I say, cutting her off. She smiles and nods, and as much as I don't want to, I let her hand go. I climb in my Jeep and watch to make sure she gets inside okay before I leave. When I'm far enough away that I know she can't see, I pull out my cell phone and hit the top saved number. Dad, I'm gonna need you to give my girlfriend a job.
Chapter 9. Lily. I look around the living room. I finally got the last box unpacked. Each move, we have less and less that we bring with us. Our old life is slowly disappearing. I wonder if the pain will still linger when it's all gone. Will my father and I be able to stop living in this misery that's always hanging around us? When I hear the front door open, I turn to see my father stumble in. He almost trips over his own feet, and I rush over, trying to stop him from falling to the hardwood floor.
Don't fucking touch me!
He bellows and thrusts his arm at me. He pushes me back, and the force causes my feet to tangle. I lose my balance and can't catch myself in time, and I fall. A sharp point shoots through my back, the corner of a small table. I scream as the blinding pain sears through my body.
God damn it, Lily!
My father bends towards me, his once dark hair now streaked with gray, the wrinkles around his eyes stark. They've doubled over the last few years. He looks worn to the bone. The alcohol, combined with the death of my mother, shows all over his face. His filthy breath fills my lungs as his fingers dig into my arm, and he pulls me to stand. I bite back another yelp, my back now throbbing. "Sorry," I say, wanting to look anywhere but at him. He doesn't release my arm, and I have to look back up at him. He stares down at me, his eyes wild. He doesn't know where he is. And that knowledge sends terror rushing through me. His hold tightens on my arm, and I don't know how far he's about to go. "Dad?" I whimper.
"You look just like her. I can't stand it."
With that, he releases me with a small shove and heads into the kitchen. I hear him banging around for a minute. Then everything goes quiet. I know he's eating the simple spaghetti with hamburger I made. I left a plate wrapped in plastic for him on the table. I didn't know when he'd be back. Sometimes he comes right after work, and other times he ends up at a bar until late into the night. If that's the case, he comes home well after I'm asleep. I prefer him to go to the bar. When he comes home straight from work, I have to watch him slip away drink by drink. At least when he does it there, I don't have to see it. Slipping away upstairs, I go to my room and put as much distance between him and me as possible. I wish I had a phone, or some kind of computer to look up the hardware store Ren told me about. Anything to get my mind off what just happened. I look at myself in the mirror, lifting my shirt to see a bright red mark where my back hit the table. That's going to hurt in the morning. There was no regret for my dad tonight. Maybe he's still too drunk. This isn't the first time I've gotten hurt trying to help him. I don't know why I keep trying. But I can't help myself. I let my shirt drop, not wanting to look at the mark anymore. I grab my notepad, lie back on my bed, and let my pencil go. I think about the boy who made me forget, for the first time in years. I want to be back in the cafeteria for those few minutes we shared. Remembering the brownie, I reach into my backpack and pull it out. I debate eating it, but instead, I put it on my nightstand, wanting to save it. I want to believe what he told me, that what Kristen said didn't matter. But it still lingers in the back of my mind. It's hard to believe something good when everything has been so bad for so long. Why would she lie? She did seem catty when I heard her talking this morning. I know she has a thing for Ren, or wants to have one. If she really thought he was such a bad guy, then why would she want him? I think back to all she said when she didn't notice I was sitting in the office. She said he was an asshole. But she didn't care. I know some girls like that. I don't get it. I'd want sweet and loving. My father was never the sweetest, but he loved my mom. Probably more than anything else in the whole world, me included. I'd once overheard them fighting over having another child after I'd asked my mom for a brother or sister. His words have always stuck in my head.
"You wanted a baby, and I gave you one, Marie. You know I'd give you anything I could, but I'm not sharing any more of you or your time. One is all we're having. It's enough."
Now, the woman he loves more than anything is gone. And he's stuck with a kid he only had for her. And the worst part is, every time he looks at me, all he can see is her. And I think it's slowly driving him insane. Maybe I'm the reason he drinks. He can't bear looking at me each day when he comes home. He stays late at the bar in hopes of not having to see me at all. I look down at my notepad and gasp. It's Ren, looking like a warrior. His face is hard, like he's ready for battle. His short dark hair is a mess, sweat coating his body. How can someone look so scary but so safe at the same time? He told me I was special. I don't know why that keeps playing over and over in my head. Maybe because I haven't felt special since my mother was alive. I want to be special to someone again. To know I'm cared for. And not out of obligation. I pull the notepad to my chest, letting my eyes fall closed as sleep takes me. For the first time in a long time, I look forward to tomorrow.
Chapter 10. Ren. What? I say, looking at my parents. They've both been staring at me since I came downstairs this morning, and they keep exchanging looks. I know what this is about, but neither of them is saying anything. When I came home after school, my dad and I talked about him giving Lily a job. I was surprised that he didn't ask questions. He just agreed. It was a relief, but I knew that would only hold them off for so long. My mom had a long shift yesterday at the hospital, and she's about to leave in a few minutes. The time is ticking, and she knows her window to talk to me is closing.
So, Ren, your dad was telling me you have a girlfriend.
There it is. Yeah, I say, finishing my breakfast and taking my plate to the kitchen. Suddenly, my mom is grabbing me by the arm and pushing me up against the counter. It's playful, but I'm amazed at how strong she is for a woman so small. She's bigger than Lily, but not by much.
You listen to me, Ren Hendricks. I've never seen you so much as blink in the direction of a girl before, so you can't show up and say you've got a girlfriend and not give me details.
She pokes me in the stomach, and it makes me laugh.
Spill it, sweet potato, or I'm gonna pull out the big guns.
I can't help but laugh at the nickname she gave me when I was a baby. She said I came out all orange and squishy like a sweet potato. She lifts up her hands and makes claws like she's going to tickle me, and I get serious. If there's one thing she knows I hate, it's to be tickled. Some people find it funny and enjoy the sensation. They laugh and think it's playful. Not me. When I get tickled, I get mad, and she knows it. Mom, I warn and try to push myself away from her.
Spill it,
she says, raising an eyebrow and daring me to test her. Letting out a sigh, I give in. I know it's useless when she's like this. I look over her head to my dad, who props up against the counter, sipping his coffee and waiting. They're both in this together. Her name is Lily. We, met yesterday. I see the shock on her face, but she doesn't stop me. She's new to the school, but we had the same classes yesterday, and I gave her a ride home.
Oh.
My mom's hands drop, and she looks like she's thinking over what I'm saying.
So she's your girlfriend?
Her tone is confused, but she doesn't push it. Mom, I put my hands on her arms, and she looks up at me, our eyes locking. She's more than just my girlfriend. I know it sounds crazy, but you guys told me you knew the instant you saw one another in fourth grade that you were done. It's that way with Lily. She just needs to see it too.
But Ren,
trust me, I say, cutting her off. I'll bring her around as soon as I can convince her. But believe me, Mom, she's the one. She looks in my eyes as if she's searching for something. After a second, she seems to find what she's looking for and smiles at me.
You've always marched to the beat of your own drum, and I know you do things in your own time and your own way. I trust you.
She gives me a kiss on the cheek as she grabs her bag and tells my dad goodbye. Dad smiles at me and takes his thermos of coffee and leaves for work, too. I stand there for a second, thinking about what I've told them and their reaction. I feel a smile pull at my lips as I consider what could have happened versus what did. I'll take it. Despite knowing her for less than a day, Lily means more to me than I could have thought possible. But I'd rather feel obsessively consumed than feel nothing at all. I stayed up late last night, lying in bed and running the whole day back through my mind, thinking about her every movement, every time I touched her, and ached to see her again. I grab my bag, go outside and get in my Jeep. I head toward Lily's house. I leave early, thinking maybe I could go in and meet her parents or something first, so they know she's not riding with someone crazy and that I'll take care of her. I'd also like for them to meet me because she's going to be spending a lot of time with me. Right before I get to her house, I see she's already walking down the sidewalk. Anger flashes through me as I see her out in the cold. I stop, pull over, and jump out. "Hey," I say, stepping in front of her. She looks up at me, startled, as if she's surprised to see me. "Were you trying to ditch me?"
"No, I just thought maybe you might forget."
She glances toward the ground, and I step in front of her, putting my hand under her chin. "I'd never forget you, Lily. Ever." I see something close to tears pool in her eyes, and I pull her into my arms. "You okay, babe?" She nods against me, but I can't help but think something is wrong. "Hey, let's get you in the Jeep and warm you up. I bet you didn't have breakfast, did you?" I take her hand and open her door, lifting her up inside. I reach down to the floorboard and put a bag in her lap. It's still warm. "My mom makes the best chocolate chip muffins, and I thought you might want one. Or three." I wink at her, and she lights up, looking down at the bag. I close the door and walk around to my side, and by the time I get in, the smell of warm chocolate fills the cab.
"This has made my day,"
Lily says, and takes a bite. I watch her, and seeing the light come back in her eyes as she smiles at me makes my whole year. She has a smudge of chocolate on the side of her mouth, and I can't stand it anymore. Leaning forward, I place my hand on the side of her face and cup her cheek. She looks a little startled, but not scared.
"I'm gonna kiss you, Lily Parker, because you're the sweetest and most beautiful girl I've ever met. And if I don't, I might die. But once I do, you're gonna belong to me."
She licks her lips and looks down at mine. When her bright blue doe eyes flicker, there's only desire burning in them. Placing my mouth softly on hers, I feel the silk of lips against mine. They're full and sweet. And when she parts her mouth, I slip my tongue inside. She tastes of mint and chocolate, and I want to consume her. But this is only our first kiss, the first of many, and I aim to go slow with her. It's not nearly long enough, but I pull back a little, resting my forehead against hers, and breathe in her scent. She smells like Christmas and home, all rolled into one. Excitement, comfort, and an overwhelming sense of right settle in my chest. I've waited my whole life for her.
Chapter 11. Lily. I'm the one who starts the kiss this time, wanting to feel his lips on me again. The whole world melted away when he kissed me. And I want to do it over and over again. Like yesterday in the cafeteria, he shields us with this little bubble, and I never want to leave it. I didn't have a care in the world in that moment, and I don't have one now. I'm just a normal teenage girl having her first kiss with a boy. Though I'm not sure you could call Ren a boy. I wanted him to show up so bad this morning, but I was scared about what would happen if he didn't. Not wanting to have to face it, I decided to walk. It was silly and stupid and made no sense, but I was scared. For no reason, he came, and I have a feeling he will always come for me. This time I push forward, deepening the kiss. His lips part, and I try to replicate the same soft touch of tongue he gave me. A sound leaves his throat, or maybe it's me who makes the sound. I try to move in closer, wanting no space between us. He wraps his arms around me, his hands going to my back. I jerk from the pain that shoots through my body, but I'm unable to move with Ren's arms wrapped around me. My eyes meet his, and his face fills with concern. "Sorry," I mumble, hoping he doesn't ask. But the hope is short-lived. "Turn around," he commands. "It's nothing. I just fell and hit a table. I didn't look at the bruise this morning, so I have no idea how bad it is. I could feel it, but I couldn't bear to look at it. I didn't need a reminder of what happened last night. I'd rather forget about it and try to pretend it never happened. Turn around, babe." He says it softer this time, and I give in. I turn slowly in my seat, bending forward a little as he pushes my coat and shirt up to reveal my lower back. "Fuck," I hear him mutter. His big hand softly lingers over the bruise. Then I feel his lips. The touch so soft and sweet, it makes me want to cry. Who knew a giant of a man could be so gentle?
"Does it hurt, babe?"
he asks, making my heart jump in my chest. Every time he calls me babe, it warms me from the inside out. "No, it's fine." He writes my shirt and coat, and I move back to face him. I can see concern written all over his face. "I'm fine, really," I try to reassure him. "It's nice having someone worry over you, even about something as little as a bruise." He leans forward, pressing a soft kiss to my lips.
"Let me know if it starts bothering you."
I nod at him and give him a smile. I can tell the bruise put him on edge, and I'm glad he doesn't ask for more details about it. He pulls his Jeep from the curb, heading in the direction of the school. Snow is coming down pretty hard, and I'm glad I don't have to walk. I can't stop myself from stealing glances over at him while he drives us. I take little bites of the muffins he brought me, enjoying the sweet treat first thing. When he catches me, I blush, and he gives me a big smile that goes all the way to his eyes. God, he's so handsome. He takes my breath away. I wonder if our kiss was his first, too. But shyness gets the best of me, and I can't bring myself to ask. It probably wasn't. Not with the way some of the girls at school look at him. And he's the star of the football team. I'd rather not know about any of his other kisses.
"Don't move,"
he tells me when we pull into the school parking lot. He grabs my backpack and hops out, then comes around to my side of the Jeep. He opens the door for me and helps me down, and I reach for my backpack. He shakes his head and gives me one of his beautiful smiles again.
"I got it, babe. Besides, your back hurts."
The backpack wasn't hurting my back, but I know he isn't going to give it to me. He takes my hand in his after he shuts the Jeep door, and we make our way into the school. I notice people turn to look at us. A few say hi to Ren. He gives them a chin nod, not speaking to them. It's clear he's popular, but I'm not sure he likes that much. When we get to his locker, I glance around and see more people are looking at us. I'm not sure if they're looking at me or him. I'm not paying attention as Ren starts to unzip my coat, taking it off of me, then removing my hat and gloves. He shoves them into his locker before taking off his own and putting it in.
"Mythology?"
he asks as he shuts the locker, and it takes me a minute to get what he's talking about.
"Yeah, you have it too?"
I look up at him, hoping he does.
"Maybe."
He grabs my hand again, leading me down the hallway.
"Maybe we have the same class? How does he not know what classes he has?"
We walk by Kristen and Carrie, who are giggling, but they quieten as we pass. Kristen's eyes narrow on me before she gives me a disappointed head shake. I don't know what she means by that. Ren doesn't so much as glance her way as we pass them. He doesn't really look at anyone besides me. People move out of his way as he walks down the center of the hall, but he doesn't seem to notice. He walks me into the classroom and I pick a seat towards the back of the room. He drops my backpack next to my chair as I take a seat. He places both hands on my desk, leaning down over me, blocking anyone from seeing me, and filling up all the space in front of me.
Don't leave without me. If I'm not back in the classroom before the bell rings, wait for me.
I nod at him. Something about his overprotectiveness stirs something deep inside me.
Say it, babe,
he says, raising an eyebrow. I'll wait for you. He leans in, placing another quick kiss on me, and I watch him stride from the room, determination in his steps. I sit there, still feeling the sweetness of his lips on me, long after the teacher starts the lesson.
Chapter 12. Ren. I spent the better part of my morning rearranging my schedule in the guidance office. Some might say it's crazy to move all my classes around so that Lily and I have a mirrored schedule. I don't care what those people think. I am crazy. Besides, it doesn't even matter what classes I take. I've already gotten into college. Our kisses this morning were enough to send me over the edge of sanity, and now I'm in full-on insane mode. I never felt like I was living my life before she walked into it, and now suddenly she's here, and I can't picture a moment without her. She's quickly becoming the center of my world, and I'm okay with that. I've never been obsessed about anything before. Not winning in football or getting the best grades. Not beating some dumb video game or working on my Jeep. But since my eyes landed on Lily, she's consumed my every thought. I didn't see her coming, but I've never been happier to have been blindsided.
Okay, Ren, you should be all set. The counselor looks over his notes and back to my schedule. You've more than met all your prerequisites, and your transcripts are well above marks for your scholarship. I see no need to change your schedule this late in the year. But honestly, these are all bonus classes for you as they are. Your attendance will still be counted, but I don't see the teachers here giving you any grief about it.
I nod, looking over my new classes for today, and smile. Mythology, civics, lunch, and then art. We both have free periods at the end of every day, so that gives us more time together.
Thanks, Mr. Green.
No problem. But can I ask why the sudden change?
He watches me as I stand and grab my bag.
I'm broadening my horizons.
I don't wait for more questions as I turn and leave, eager to meet Lily after her first class. The bell sounds as I get to the door, and I look in and see her stay in her seat as everyone else stands up and grabs their bags. I walk past the crowd, and she spots me, smiling so big I see dimples in her cheeks. It takes my breath away. She's truly beautiful. I grab her bag and take her hand, leading her from the classroom and down the hall. We've got civics before lunch with art after that.
So you do have the same schedule as me,
Lily beams, and I'm glad I made the change.
I only had to shuffle a couple of things around, but this last semester is cake.
I'd rather spend the time with you. Her cheeks redden and she ducks her chin.
That's really sweet of you. Thanks.
Don't thank me. I squeeze her hand and she looks over at me. Just don't try and get away. I wink at her and she elbows me. It's playful and fun, and I can't remember the last time someone made me feel special. I'm warm and gooey inside, and I feel like one of those cartoons with the heart eyes. God, I must look like a fool following her around like a puppy dog. But I'd rather be her puppy than nothing at all. If being by her side as a loyal partner is a crime, then lock me up. We sit beside each other in civics, and I find a few chances to reach out and touch her. Something about making sure she's real. When I touch her, she smiles at me and lights up. It's like she's never been touched before, and she leans into it, craving the attention. When class is over, we walk hand in hand to lunch, and much like the day before, she sits while I bring back trays of food. Only this time we aren't interrupted, and we get to finish a brownie together.
You like sweets?
She asks me, and I smile back. almost as much as I like you. I wink at her and she nudges me with her elbow again. I'm starting to think she likes touching me, too. Seriously, sugar is like crack to me. Give me a cake and I'll marry you. Her face flushes red. It's too bad you missed my birthday. You could have made me one, I tease.
When was it?
Thanksgiving. My mom jokes that I like to eat so much that I was born on a day dedicated to it. When's yours? She looks away and then looks back at me.
Friday?
As in this Friday? Excitement builds in my chest. She nods and shrugs.
It's not a big deal. Just finally 18.
Hey. I take her chin in my hand and make her look at me. It's a huge deal. We'll celebrate, okay? I'll take you for cake. I know a great place. Her face lights up and she nods. The little cloud that formed has passed, and I vow to do that for the rest of our lives, to push away her clouds and make sure she's only seeing sunshine. We finish lunch and walk to art class together, and I can see the change in Lily once we get there. There's a look of excitement in her eyes as the teacher talks about what we'll be working on today. She asks us to do a charcoal sketch of the statue in front of us, and I set up my easel next to Lily. She beams over at me as she takes the dark stick and begins to draw right away. I'm not really that good at art, but I try as best as I can and do a pretty decent job. The statue is of a woman wrapped in a cloak, so the curves and shading are difficult. I'm sure if I'd taken art any time during my 4 years of high school, I'd understand what I was doing. As it is, this is my first time, but I muddle through. I glance over at Lily a few times, but she's deep in concentration. I love to watch her face as she draws and see the focus she puts into her work. By the time the hour is up, the teacher calls for us to stop and examines what we've done. I can't see Lily's from where I'm sitting, but I see the teacher come up behind her and her eyes spark.
Miss Parker, Lily Parker, I'm a transfer student.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Bennett says, and looks over her drawing.
My dear, you have an extraordinary talent. I look forward to the next class.
She gives my paper a cursory glance before the bell rings and everyone packs up. I walk over to where Lily is sitting and see the breathtaking sketch she's drawn. It's so lifelike, I feel like it could climb off the paper. Wow, that's incredible, I say. And I mean every word of it. She's gifted.
Thank you,
Lily says, looking it over.
I love art.
You're amazing. I look into her eyes when I say it and see her blush again. Taking her hand, I pull her from the room and we stop by my locker to grab our coats before heading out to my Jeep. When I pick her up and put her in the truck, I give her a quick kiss. Buckle up, babe. We're headed to the hardware store.
Chapter 13. Lily.
I have a feeling my mom might show up tonight,
Ren says, glancing over at me from the driver's seat. He pulls out of the school parking lot and heads towards the hardware store. We get to leave early, and I'm grateful it will give me more time to work before I need to get home. Okay. I push a lock of hair behind my ear. I knew his parents owned the hardware store, but I hadn't really thought about meeting them.
She's supposed to work at the hospital today, but knowing my mom, she won't be able to help herself, and she'll show up tonight to see you.
He gives me a half smile, like, you know how moms are. Because she wants to meet the new girl at the hardware store, or because...
'Cause you're mine?
He says, cutting me off. I glance over at him again. His eyes are on me while we sit at a red light. Like boyfriend and girlfriend? I ask. That's what it's called, right? I haven't had a boyfriend since the fourth grade, and it only lasted through one recess and ended because I tagged him out in kickball. Johnny pulled one of my pigtails and called me a runt. I'd always been the smallest in my grade, and I figured that meant we were over. I didn't play kickball anymore after that. Ren reaches over, grabbing my hand and pulling it to his lap.
Whatever you want to call it, babe.
You like calling me that. Ren rubs little circles on my wrist with his thumb as he takes off when the light turns green.
You don't like it?
I do.
Good, because I don't think I can stop. It just sort of comes out with you.
You're so sweet to me. I look over at him again, unable to stop myself. I'm always looking anywhere but at people, hoping they don't notice me. But not with him. I love when he sees me. A small blush hits his cheeks, and that makes me smile. I've been doing that all day with him. I can't remember that last time I smiled this much. I bet my face will hurt tomorrow. He doesn't look like someone you'd call sweet, but he is. Nor does he look like someone who would blush, for that matter.
Another thing that seems to happen around you, too.
I know the feeling. I don't care much to talk to people, and here I am. I barely know you, and I'm in your car chatting away.
Keep going. I want to know more about you.
I shrug. I don't really want to talk about me. I'd rather talk about the moment, or maybe the future. But I know I'll have to give him something. It's just my dad and me. I moved here from Brentwood.
Brentwood. That's 2 hours south of here, right?
Yep. I don't tell him I was barely even there. That before Brentwood, it was Greenville, Clinton, Franklin, and my hometown of Madison. I might have missed one. Who knows? It all blends together into a mess I really don't want to try and clear up. I want to forget.
Your mom?
He squeezes my hand when I give him a sad look.
You lost her when you got that scar?
My whole body freezes, and I try to jerk my hand from his, but he doesn't let me go. We pull into a parking lot, and he shuts off the engine.
I'm sorry. You don't have to tell me.
He doesn't say yet, but it's implied. I don't want to talk about it. I want to pretend it never happened. I want it all to disappear. I unclip my seatbelt, lean forward, and press my lips to his. Like every time we kiss, everything else melts away, and I'm back in my safe place. As his mouth moves against mine. He slides his hand into my hair as he deepens the kiss. I push back, wanting more as our tongues touch softly.
Babe, you have to stop.
I moan and keep going. God, this feels so good. Better than anything I've ever felt in my life. I move my hips, and that's when I realize I've somehow crawled into his lap.
Lily.
Ren says my name, and it almost sounds painful. I open my eyes and look into his. He's breathing heavily and his face is hard, like he's angry. I try to recoil. I don't like the hardness on his face. But there's nowhere to go. I'm pinned between him and the steering wheel, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who got us in this position to begin with. I'm sorry, I blurt out. I don't know what came over me. I wanted to be as close to him as I could get. I was desperate to forget about the past and only think about him, back in our little bubble he makes for us.
Don't ever be sorry for kissing me, Lily.
You look mad, I tell him.
Not mad, babe.
He takes a deep breath, trying to get his breathing under control.
Trust me, I'm anything but mad.
I'm trying to get myself under control, and that's hard with you wiggling on top of me. My eyes widen as my mouth falls open a little. I feel his hardness against my ass, and I blush even harder. I can tell from what I'm sitting on that he must like it when we kiss. But for some reason, he wants me to stop. I don't want to stop. I want to go back to him saying my name in that gruff voice of his.
I love nothing more than to lie back and let you move on me as long as you want, but not in a parking lot for everyone to see.
My mouth forms a little O, because I forgot where we are. I glance around and see we are in the parking lot of Hendrix Hardware. and that's when I see an older couple standing by the entrance. The two of them are staring at us. I look at a man who looks just like Ren, only a little smaller in build. Oh my God. I drop my face into his neck, wishing the ground would swallow me. I just made out with Ren right in front of his parents.
Chapter 14. Ren. Mom? Dad? This is my Lily. I squeeze her hand, letting her know it's okay. I'm surprised when she takes a deep breath, but looks them in the eye and extends her free hand.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. and Mrs. Hendricks.
My mom looks like she could burst into a pile of confetti, but shakes her hand and beams at Lily.
Please call me Janet, and you can call him Rick.
She nods over to my dad. My dad takes Lily's hand next, and he's a little calmer about it.
We've heard very nice things about you. We're very happy to meet the lady who's stolen Ren's heart.
Lily blushes a little, but otherwise she does great.
Ren can show you around the store today so you can get a feel for things. Afterwards, come to the office, and I'll set you up on the schedule, my dad says.
Thank you, Mr. Rick. I appreciate the job.
We need the help, so this works out perfectly,
my mom cuts in. She has no idea if we do or not, but it makes me happy that she's trying to include Lily.
So you'll be working here for the rest of the school year? What about summertime or fall? Do you have plans for college?
Mom, I say, trying to warn her not to hit Lily with too many questions at once. But Lily surprises me again when she speaks up.
For the moment, my plan is to go to the County Community College, but I have an application in at MU. If I get into Minnesota, I'd like to go there.
You haven't heard back yet?
My dad asks. I assume he's thinking about me getting my letter months ago.
My scholarships take time to get approval. There are only so many, and a lot of people go after them.
Lily shrugs like it's no big deal. I'd asked her about school before, but I didn't realize she was still waiting to hear back.
My athletic scholarship came through early.
They like to have those in place before the season starts, I say, trying to put her at ease.
I got lucky with mine. Part of it has a housing allowance since we are so close to campus. I can live at home and commute, or I can get a place on campus and stay close to the team.
I want to let her know that I've got the option to stay at home if she decides to stay local, or I can live on campus if she gets in. I'm already thinking about our future together and how I don't want us to be apart. As if she understands what I mean, she gives me a shy smile. Her bright blue doe eyes sparkle, and I feel another piece of us click into place. Turning back to my parents, I see they're both staring at us with the stupidest grins on their faces. I roll my eyes and pull Lily behind me to the back of the store. When we get there, I take her coat and hang it up. Sorry about them. They've never done that before.
What? Say hello to someone?
She asks, smiling. I hand her an apron and she slips it on.
Met a girl I brought home. Or, well, to the store. I've never introduced them to someone before.
Oh.
She pauses.
Never?
Nope. I've actually never had a girlfriend before, so this is kind of new for me, too.
I put on a matching apron and give her a half smile.
I'm not sure if it makes me less attractive, but today was my first kiss. It's kind of all happening at once, I guess.
I walk over to her and put my finger under her chin to help her close her mouth. She didn't notice it had popped open at that bit of news. It was a bit comical, but she laughs after I do it.
You were my first kiss, too,
she says shyly.
I like that we were the first.
And the last, I add, placing my lips on hers. The kiss is soft and all too quick, but I can't take the chance of my parents walking back here. They're looking for any excuse to talk to Lily. I can feel it.
Let me show you around the place.
I spend most of the late afternoon giving Lily a tour of the place and showing her what I do when I'm here.
She helps me stock shelves, water the plants, and sweep the floors. I show her how to use the scanner, and we do some inventory. It's fun working together, and it gives us more time to talk. Lily wants to major in art and teach one day, and I think she would be an amazing teacher. She's shy, but she's also patient, and I think she would be incredible. I can see her passion when she talks about it, and I want to figure out a way to make her dreams come true.
How long do you usually work?
She asks as we go to the back and take our aprons off. We close at 6, so sometime before then. Dad normally closes up, and I go home to either cook dinner if my mom is on shift, or eat dinner if she's off. I smile at her, and she shakes her head.
Always eating,
she says, and hands me her apron. Always hungry, I reply, putting away the aprons and pulling her into my arms for a quick kiss. I wait up front for her as she goes into the back office with my dad to square away her paperwork. After a few minutes, they come out, and she tucks an envelope in her pocket. All set? I ask, as she smiles at me and nods. I hold her coat open for her and then zip it up before we say goodbye to my dad and we leave. In the Jeep on the way to her house, she's quiet. Is everything okay?
Yeah, but I think your dad paid me too much.
I laugh and grip her hand. He pays the high school kids well because they're almost free labor.
He gave you cash, didn't he?
She nods. He pays me in cash, too. It's under the table that way, and it's only a few days a week, so there's really no harm.
It's really nice of him. Both your parents were really sweet.
Maybe I could meet your dad sometime soon. She freezes, and I can feel the change of atmosphere in the car. Or maybe some other time. No rush. I just want to make sure we're out in the open with this. I don't want to sneak around with you, Lily.
Me neither.
She says it so low, I almost don't catch it. I know there's more there, but I let it go. I don't want to push her too hard, too fast, so I change the subject. So, I look over at her when we pull up to the front of her house. You want chocolate chip muffins again tomorrow, or a bagel? She smiles at me, and the tension is broken. I would do anything to keep that smile on her face.
Chapter 15. Lily. I stare at myself in the mirror, wondering if this dress will be nice enough. It's a simple cotton dress that's fitted at the top and through the waist until it hits the hips. Then it flares out a little. The hem comes to my knees, but the whole thing gives me more of a figure. It makes me feel like a woman. It's soft pink and simple. I'm pretty sure I got it at a thrift store last summer, but never wore it. It's the only one this nice I have, and I have no idea where Ren is taking me tonight, so I really hope it's okay. He showed up this morning with a chocolate chip muffin with a candle in it. It was sweet, and I made him share it with me. The school day went by entirely too fast, and now I'm left with a belly full of butterflies about tonight, wondering what Ren has planned. He wouldn't tell me a thing. Not even the smallest hint. It's nice to be excited about a birthday again. I haven't celebrated one since I lost my mom, and I'm sure my father forgot about it. He was gone before I got out of bed this morning, and I'm praying he would be home late tonight. I'd rather him not know I'd gone out at all. I'm not sure how he'll respond to me going places. He may not care. But if he does, it will be bad. He'd let me do a few weekend jobs, but I'd never asked to do anything else. Never had a reason to. Nor had the subject of boys ever come up. Sometimes I think he wants me gone and would be happy if I wasn't here when he got home. But then when I talked about working at nights, it pissed him off and I was told no. I don't understand him. But I'm guessing there is no understanding an alcoholic. Maybe he just likes me around so it isn't so lonely? Or because he wants someone to take his pain out on? I only hope I make it home before he does. Fridays tend to be late nights for him. Digging through my backpack, I find a small tube of lip gloss and slick it on. It makes my lips look shiny and fuller. I run my fingers through my hair, giving it one last check. This is as good as it's getting. I grab my small purse off my bed and head downstairs to wait for Ren. He dropped me off after school and said he'd be back in an hour. He was reluctant to leave me, wanting to wait for me to get ready, but I didn't want him to come inside. Nor did I want to chance my father coming home early. It was unlikely that would happen, but it could, knowing my luck. And after meeting Ren's parents, I definitely don't want him meeting my father. They were so freaking perfect and sweet in every way. I forgot families like that existed anymore. I could see how much they all love each other, how excited they were to meet me just because I meant something to their son. God, looking at Ren's mom made me miss my own mom so bad. It doesn't help that today's my birthday. Her death is weighing heavily on me today. I wonder what she would have done for me. I'm sure we would have gone shopping. A new dress would have been a must for Mom. My eyes water as I think about all the things we could have done today. I swallow the lump in my throat and focus on tonight. I grab my coat and slip on my boots, even though they don't match my outfit. I don't have any other options, especially with the snow. When I look out the window by the door, I see Ren coming up the walkway to the front door. I pull open the door quickly and shut and lock it behind me so he can't ask to come in. When I turn around, he's already right behind me. "You're supposed to let me knock, babe," he says, smiling down at me. "I was going to introduce myself to your father before I took you out." "He's still at work," I tell him, grabbing his hand, wanting to get out of here. But when I go to pull on it so he'll come with me, he pulls me back to him, engulfing me in his arms and leaning down for a kiss. His lips lock on mine, and I melt into him. The cold Minnesota night doesn't stand a chance against Ren's body heat.
"Don't try to not give me my kiss," he says playfully.
"Sorry," I say breathlessly. You'd think I'd be used to his kisses by now, but nope. They still knock the air right out of me. He's been laying them on me every chance he gets, even at work. Sometimes I think I'm getting paid just to kiss him. He's always grabbing me when no one is around, and we end up having a little makeout session that does all kinds of things to me. I want to do more.
"Come on, don't want to be late."
Before I can turn, he swoops me up in his arms like I weigh nothing, and I giggle as he carries me towards his Jeep. I wrap my arms around his neck and smile at him.
I love that sound.
He puts me back on my feet and opens the passenger's side door, helping me in. Leaning over me, he pulls the seatbelt over me, his whole body rubbing against mine. I try to push into him a little, loving the feeling of him against me. When I'm close to him, I feel safe. He stops moving when my breasts push into his chest. His eyes meet mine, and they're darker than normal. I lick my lips, drawing his eyes there. I want to throw myself at him. The sound of the seatbelt locking into place breaks the moment, and Ren pulls back but keeps staring at me.
"God, you're beautiful,"
he says, before shaking his head like he can't believe I'm sitting in front of him. My face warms at the simple compliment. His words are plain, but exquisite.
"Going to make this the best birthday you ever had, babe."
I know he will.
Chapter 16. Ren.
"Yes, my eyes are closed," she giggles.
"Promise not to peek?" I ask, looking at her blindfold.
"I promise."
I sit her down in the chair and make sure everything is perfect. Then I walk up behind her and take off the blindfold, wrapping my arms around her. "Happy birthday, Lily."
"Oh, Ren!"
She lifts her hands to her mouth, and I move beside her to make sure she's okay. I see tears in her eyes, and I look around to make sure it's okay, suddenly worried I didn't get it right. I took her out to dinner at the Italian place downtown, and she laughed and smiled the whole time. I told her not to order dessert because I had a surprise for her. I had told my mom it was Lily's birthday and asked her if she would help me make a cake for her. I wanted to do it myself, but I knew I would have questions. I explained to her that I wanted to surprise Lily, so she said she and my dad would have a date tonight and give us some space. I thought that was pretty cool of her, considering she's leaving me in the house alone with my girlfriend. But I think she knows that Lily isn't simply a girlfriend, that this is something much deeper. "Is it okay?" I ask, as she wipes away tears.
"It's perfect."
She gives me a watery smile and leans forward, placing a soft kiss on my lips.
"I made it myself. Vanilla cake with vanilla icing. I didn't have much help either."
She laughs and gives me another kiss.
"Quick, make a wish," I say, looking at the lit candles.
"It already came true,"
she says, not taking her eyes off me.
"Then let's make new ones together."
I grip her hand and she turns to the cake, closing her eyes and blowing out the candles. Afterwards, she turns to me and gives me another kiss. This time, it's longer and deeper. Her tongue sweeps into my mouth and I moan at the touch. I wrap my arms around her waist and lift her to me, sitting down in her chair and putting her on my lap. We kiss like that for a while, but eventually she's not satisfied with only kissing. She moves her mouth to my neck and rubs my chest and arms with eager hands. I've got one hand on her lower back and one laid on her bare thigh. Her dress has ridden up slightly, but I haven't moved my hand. I want to so badly, but I don't want to do anything she isn't ready for. Her mouth on my neck has me clenching every part of my body while my cock throbs under her ass. I jerked off before I left the house, thinking about her and how innocent she looked today. I thought it would be enough to get me through the night, but I should have known one touch from her would erase all my good work.
"Ren, will you show me your room?"
Her words are soft and muffled against my neck, but I hear them as clearly as if she would have shouted them. I inhale, my breath shaky as I try to think of a reason not to. "I don't think that's a good idea, babe." She leans back and looks at me through her lashes. And Christ, I want to give her whatever she wants. Her eyes are pleading, and I can feel her need for me just as strongly as I feel the pulse in my cock.
"Please,"
she whispers. I tuck a strand of hair behind her ear and try to be the voice of reason. "Lily, I want to take you to my room so bad I could throw you over my shoulder and carry you." She smiles at my response, and it makes it even more difficult to turn her down. "But if I take you up there, we might get carried away, and I'm not ready for that yet." She touches my cheek and gives me a soft kiss.
"I want to. We don't have to do everything. But I want you to hold me. It's my birthday."
Fuck. I can't say no to that. I don't want to say no to that, but I really should. "Lily."
"Just a little,"
she says, moving on my lap, and I'm not strong enough to say no again. I set her on her feet and stand up, trying to move behind her so I can adjust my cock. She glances down at it and blushes. But it's not like I can help it. I take her hand and lead her down the hallway and up the stairs. My room is at the end of the hall next to a bonus room with a couch and TV. When I get to my door, I push it open and step aside so she can walk in. I close it behind us and stand there while she looks around. My room is big, but not very decorated. I've got a desk in here with some books and papers on it. A bookshelf in the corner with some of my trophies. Then there's my queen-size bed in the middle. She goes to the bed and sits on the end, smiling at me. I stay frozen on the spot until she reaches her hand out for me and I walk over to her.
I close my eyes tightly and then open them again. I kneel down in front of her so we are eye to eye. Lily, I want to be clear about what's going to happen in here so we don't get mixed up and we don't go too far.
If at any time you want to stop, you say so, and we can go back downstairs and have cake. Nothing is going to change if you change your mind.
She nods and smiles at me, letting out a nervous breath. If you want me to, I'll hold you on the bed and we can kiss a little. But that's it, okay?
Okay.
She reddens but nods and scoots back on the bed. I crawl over her and slowly lower my body. I wrap one arm around her waist while I prop myself up on the other. She rubs my chest. I can feel the heat of her body melting into mine, and my breathing gets deeper. My pulse slows, but somehow feels stronger, beating between my legs. My aching cock presses against her belly, and her legs spread under me. Lily, I say in warning, but fuck, it feels so good. We're still fully clothed, but there's a burning heat coming off us as our lower body parts line up. She moves her hips under mine as if trying to find the most comfortable position. And I moan as she gasps from the pressure. I rub against her a little, trying to ease the ache, but all it does is make me want her more.
I've never done this,
she says, her voice breathy.
Me neither, babe.
I rub a little harder against her this time, and she grips my shirt in her fists. Her eyes close as I rock on top of her, and I keep doing it because she seems to like it. She spreads her legs wider and moves her hips in time with mine, and pretty soon I'm thrusting on top of her like we're fucking. Oh, God, I moan, feeling like I'm going to come in my jeans. I lean down, taking her mouth in a messy kiss as we both rub together. All of it feels so good, the humping, the kissing.
Ren, something's happening.
She looks at me with wide eyes and I want to stop, but I know what's coming.
It's an orgasm, babe. Just let me rub you a little more.
I hold her hips still as I look down and see her panty-covered pussy. Her dress rode up long ago, exposing her delicate white cotton to me. I see the crotch is soaked.
Fuck.
I run the ridge of a jean-covered cock over her wet spot, back and forth, pressing harder each time. Her eyes are tightly shut and she's trying so hard to reach it. I press down a little harder and rub up in one long stroke. It's all it takes. And she's coming under me, crying out my name and clinging to me. The sight is more than a man can take, and I release spurts of cum inside my jeans. I rock against her softly, letting each wave of cum go, not holding back any more. It's thick and sticky inside my boxers, but I don't care. I try to slow my heart and catch my breath as we both hold each other. After a second, I feel her giving me soft kisses and moving under me again.
Can we do that again?
She asks shyly, a blush deepening on her cheeks.
Yeah, babe. We can do that as much as you want.
I rub my still hard ridge against her wet panties and pretend I'm making love to her. I make her come three more times before I finally pull her from the bed, saying we have to eat some cake, or my mom will be upset we didn't have any. Chapter 17. Ren.
Come to the dance with me,
I say against Lily's neck as I rub against her. She stiffens against me.
What?
I lean back and look in her bright blue eyes that almost look panicked. I asked you to come to the winter formal with me.
Please, babe?
I move against her again and she moans, closing her eyes and letting her head fall back. We're in the back storage room of the hardware store after hours.
My dad left, and we told him we'd close up. I didn't plan on this happening, but Lily jumped on me the second we locked up. I carried her back here and pressed her up against the closed door before we started making out. She's got her legs around me, and I'm rubbing her how she likes it. She's close to coming, so I'm using the distraction to get what I want. We've been inseparable for the past 2 weeks, and every time we're alone, she asks me to get her off. It's the fucking highlight of my day watching her come, and I plan on doing it every free second I have. She's been pushing for more, but I've tried to take it slow. We've still only dry-humped, but I have a feeling that won't last much longer. She's playing closer to the edge every time we are alone, and I don't know how much longer I can make her wait. It's a dance, babe. My last chance in high school to show you off. Soon I'll be doing it in college. Give me this one thing, please. Her legs around me tighten, and her hands go to my hair.
Only if you give me what I want,
she says, looking down my body and then back at my eyes. I give her a half smile and shake my head. If I didn't know better, I'd say you were using me for my body. She moves against me, and this time I'm the one who moans. She loves making me come in my pants, and I do it an embarrassing amount with her.
Please, Ren, I'm ready. You're ready. I want all of you.
I close my eyes and rest my forehead against hers. Then I pull back and nod. All right. You go to the dance with me, and I'll give you what you want. She beams and moves against me again, closing her eyes, trying to catch her orgasm. I grab her ass and move us over to the couch, laying her down on it. This time, while I rub our bodies together, I put my hand up her shirt and go to her bra. I notice a bruise on her stomach and think to ask her about it later. She had one on her arm earlier in the week, and she told me she fell down the stairs. I wonder if this is from that, too, but it looks newer. Her eyes grow wide with excitement as my fingers trace her bra. We haven't done this before, so it's new ground for both of us. God, I want all of her naked under me so bad, but this will have to do while we wait. I push my fingers under her bra, feeling the flesh of her breast and then her hard nipple. I give the tiny peak a pinch, and she arches her back to get closer. Her moans are louder, and I can feel her body trembling with need under me. I move my other hand between our bodies and rub her crotch. Her jeans are burning hot, and I bet if I pulled them down, her panties would be a sopping mess. She grabs for my jeans and rubs the ridge of my cock up and down. She's trying to milk my cum out through the material, and she's almost there. Not being able to stand it anymore, I push her shirt up, pull down her bra, and latch my mouth onto her nipple before I can stop myself. I take as much of her breast into my mouth as I can, feeling her soft flesh against my tongue. I suck on her, and she cries out, coming under me. Her grip tightens on my cock, and I do exactly what she wants. I come inside my boxers, making a mess of myself, wishing so bad the release was inside her warm pussy. I lay my cheek against her exposed breast as I try to catch my breath, and then suddenly Lily surprises me by sticking her hand down the waistband of my jeans and swiping a finger through my cum. I watch in shock as she brings the finger to her mouth and licks it clean. My cock throbs at the sight, releasing a little more at what she just did. Fuck, I growl.
I thought that maybe since you tasted me, I could taste you.
That's not the same thing. I look down her body at her exposed nipple, thinking how pretty and pink it is. The same would be me tasting your pussy. Her cheeks deepen to the color of her nipple, and I want to suck it in my mouth all over again.
That seems fair. Maybe you should.
I start to answer her, but I hear the front door chime go off. Shit! I exclaim, putting her bra and shirt back right before pulling her from the back room into the front of the store. When we get there, I see my dad going towards his office. I grab Lily's hand and we sneak out the side door. My Jeep is parked around back, so he may not know we're still here. We run out, and I help her in before jumping in the driver's seat and taking off. I look over at Lily, and she's got her hands over her mouth, trying to muffle a giggle. That was all your fault, I say, reaching over and grabbing her hand. Let's get you some dinner, and then I'll take you home. We laugh the whole way to the diner, and then sit on the same side of the booth holding hands and talking before our night is over. I always hate the end of the day when I have to say goodbye to her. She's my everything, and letting her go, even if it's only to her house, breaks my heart a little more every time.
Chapter 18. Lily. That one is perfect, Lily. I look down at the light blue gown, feeling like a princess. The top part has a sweetheart neckline that's fitted and edged with rhinestones. The bottom flares out, creating the illusion of an hourglass figure, and I feel like Cinderella in it. I even kind of look like her with my blonde hair and blue eyes. I love it. Ren's mom, Janet, is smiling so big I can't help but return one. Her excitement is contagious. We have been dress shopping all morning, and I'm not sure who is enjoying it more, her or me. I turn and look in the mirror, biting my lip and wondering what Ren will think of it. I'm telling you, it's perfect. She does a little hand clap, her excitement bubbling over. I have some shoes that will go with that dress. You're a size 7, right? Yes, but I'm not sure if I can walk in heels. I've never tried. She bats her hand in the air like it's no big deal. They aren't too tall. Plus, that's why you have a man to hold on to at these things. You don't have to worry about your feet. That's true. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure Ren would be okay with me wearing heels. He treats me like I'm made of glass. He won't even let me carry my own freaking backpack. The thought makes me smile. Everything about him makes me smile. In fact, I can't recall the last time I was this happy. It feels unreal. Hair up or down? Janet asks as she plays with it. Down. That's how Ren likes it. I know because he can't keep his hands out of it when we kiss. His hands are always full of my hair. But I don't tell his mom that. We'll take it, she tells the salesperson before unclasping the hook in the back so I can slip out of it in the changing room. I glance down at the price tag, happy the dress isn't too expensive, and that I've been getting paid in cash for working at the hardware store. This isn't something I'd normally spend money on, but I could tell how much Ren wanted to go. Now I'm starting to think he wanted me to go because he likes the idea of me spending time with his mom like this. She seems the most excited about it, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't having a good time with her. It was bittersweet spending the day and getting ready with her, but it's been fun getting excited about something like this, something I would have done with my own mother. When I come back out of the room, the sales lady takes the dress from me and puts it into a bag. I pull out my wallet, but Janet stops me. Already got it, she says. The happy smile still on her face. Her cheeks have to be hurting by now, because I think mine are too. Oh, you didn't have to do that. I have... Wasn't me. It was Ren. Trust me, I tried to get him to let me buy it, but he said he'd be paying for his girl's dress. That makes me blush. He always talks like that, even in front of his mom and dad. I still get embarrassed about it. He even kisses me right in front of them, like it's no big deal. I guess it would be awkward if his parents didn't approve, but Ren's mom gets so excited seeing us together. I thought boyfriends' mothers were supposed to be the worst. She's nothing like that at all. In fact, she's almost more motherly to me than to him at times. Yesterday, she brought dinner to the hardware store and forgot to get the boys something. They stood there dumbfounded, and she sent them out to get something while she and I ate. I think she does it on purpose to get alone time with me. Thank you, I tell the sales lady, taking the bag from her. All right, let's get some mall junk food for lunch and go home and get ready. We leave the store and head for the food court. She orders one of everything. I can see where Ren gets his eating habits. I hope you had a good time today. I know I did. I always wanted a daughter. She reaches out, placing her hand on mine. I know you lost your mom, and I would never want to take her place. But I wouldn't mind if you let me try to fill some of the empty spaces. My eyes begin to water. You have no idea how nice it's been being around you guys. I think I'd forgotten what a family was supposed to be like. Well, if Ren has his way, you'll never be leaving us. He's just like his father, finds what he wants and never lets go. I don't want to go anywhere. Good. You'd break my little boy's heart, and I don't know that I could let you go either. He's opened up more since you walked into his life. It's almost like he's been waiting for you all this time. I drop my head, trying to hide my blush, loving every word she said. I want to talk to you about something, though, Lily. She leans back in her chair. You know I'm a nurse. I nod. It's actually a profession I was looking into pursuing myself. I know it's a steady job, and drawing probably isn't something I could make a living from. You and Ren are both 18, and, well, I know what happens at a lot of dances. At her words, my face warms. I can't have this talk with her. It's also what I've been planning on. What I was thinking every time I tried on a dress today. What would it be like when Ren took it off? I want it so badly. Mrs. Hendricks, I try to stop her, but she keeps going. I just want to make sure you two are safe. You're using protection. I know these things are going to happen, and I want to make sure you're both protected from pregnancy. Not that I don't want grandbabies, but all in due time. The thought of babies with Ren sends a delicious thrill through my body. But she's right. All in due time. I'm on the shot. My mom put me on it when I was 16. Oh, that's good, sweetheart. I'm glad we got that out there. Now, should we get our nails done?
Chapter 19. Ren. You look so beautiful, Lily. I look into her big, bright eyes that are the same color as her dress. The soft light in the ballroom makes her look like she's glowing, and I hold her in my arms and stare at her as we sway to the music. She got ready at my house, and I had to wait downstairs with my dad until she was ready. My mom came down first, and Lily followed, walking down the steps like something from a fairy tale. It was perfect. I ended up running up the steps to help her walk down. I didn't want her to fall in the heels. My mom took pictures of us and made a big fuss over everything, and it was perfect. I wanted to make a big deal about this because Lily said she'd never been to a dance before, and neither had I. I thought we owed it to ourselves to do this before we left high school and went to college. Plus, I wanted her to feel special, because she is. She's completely perfect. The only dark spot was the fact that she didn't want to go to her house to let me meet her dad. I really thought that maybe since tonight was so important that we could do an introduction. I even tried to suggest that maybe he would want pictures of her looking so beautiful, but she immediately dismissed it. Something is going on there, but I'm not pushing it tonight. I'll give it another day, and if she still won't bend, then I'll show up one night and do it myself. I love Lily, and I don't want to treat her or our relationship like some dirty secret. We went to dinner before the dance, and I got us a room at the hotel where it's being held. I told my dad I wouldn't be home, and he just nodded. I'm sure he's told my mom, but at this point I'm not worried about it. They know how I feel about Lily, and I'm ready to tell her myself.
Can we get out of here?
She asks, running her hands up my neck and smiling at me. You sure you don't want another dance? I tease, leaning down and kissing her lips softly. I don't care who is looking. I let everyone else in the room slip away. She's all that matters. It's like we're in our own little world.
My feet hurt,
she pouts. I know she's just trying to get out of here, and I can't say that I blame her. I'm ready to go, too. It's close to the end of the night, and most everyone has already left. Taking her hand, I lead her out of the ballroom and through the lobby of the hotel. I scan our key, and we take the elevator up to our floor. Once we are at the door to our room, I scoop her up and carry her inside.
Ren, what are you doing? She laughs.
Just felt like the right thing to do, babe. When we're inside, I carry her to the bed and put her down. We stand there for a second and look at one another, a nervous excitement passing between us. I put my hands on either side of her face and give her a soft kiss. I love you, Lily Parker, I say, looking into her big blue eyes. She smiles at me so sweetly it makes my heart ache. The second I saw you, I fell, babe. I fell hard and fast. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, loving you and becoming everything to you like you are to me. She gets a little teary and she brings her hands to my chest.
I love you too, Ren. This feels like the most wonderful thing I've ever felt. It's perfect and I'm so happy I found you. I love you so much.
I kiss her again, but this time it's deeper. I'm trying to put all of my emotions into it so that she can understand how I truly feel. It's the first time I've said it to someone besides my parents. And it feels so big, but so right. Her hands push at my tux, and I let her undress me. We smile as we kiss, both of us nervous, but ready. I slide down her zipper. She wiggles out of the dress, and then stands before me, dressed only in white panties. Her breasts are big, with dark pink nipples. I lick my lips, wanting to taste them. She makes a move to cover herself, but I reach out and stop her. You're so beautiful, Lily. I love you so much, and I can't wait to make love to you. She smiles at me shyly and then unbuttons my shirt. I reach down and undo my slacks, pushing them off my hips along with my underwear. Her eyes travel down my broad chest, down my waist to where my cock is throbbing between us, and she takes a step back, scooting on the bed. I watch her for a second as she leans back and then slips her panties off, lying on the bed completely bare. I think I'm going to pass out, I say, as all the blood in my body goes to my dick.
Come here, Ren.
She holds out her hand, and I put my knee on the bed. I love how her shyness with me has slowly slipped away, kiss by kiss, leaving only trust. Instead of crawling up her body, I kiss up her legs, wanting to know every inch of her body. We've got all night, and I intend to spend every hour of it taking my sweet time. I move to the inside of her thigh and lick her soft skin there, pushing them further apart. I need to taste you here, I say, looking into her eyes before I open my mouth and cover her pussy. Her taste and scent make me moan, and I realize right then that I am addicted to eating her pussy. One taste, and I know it won't be enough. I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I try to do what I think will make her feel good. I kiss her pussy like I'd kiss her mouth, and then suck her clit like I would her tongue. I slide a finger inside her wet channel and move in and out of her slowly. She's so tight. And when I add a second, she tenses a little. But I go slow and try to work her easy so I don't hurt her. She relaxes under me and she moans with every flick of her clit, so I keep that up while I work my fingers in and out. Fuck, you taste so good, Lily. I'm going to need more of this after I'm inside you. I wish I could eat your pussy and have my cock in you at the same time. She clenches around my fingers and grips my hair tightly. I use my free hand to squeeze my cock to keep myself from coming too fast, but I don't think anything will stop it.
Please, Ren, I'm so close.
Me too, babe. I'm about to come just eating your pussy.
Oh, God, do it. That's so hot.
She breathes and grinds against my mouth. I close my eyes and give her what she wants, coming all over myself and the sheets. I can't help it. Anytime she asks me to come, I do it. It's like my dick is under her command. I don't really hate it. It just surprises me. Waves of pleasure shoot out of my cock, but I don't stop licking her. Her legs lock on either side of my head, and her back bows off the bed. She comes on my mouth and I lick it up. She tastes so sweet that I keep sucking, hoping for more. When I've wrung out the last of her pleasure, I move up her body, seeing her flushed with her orgasm. You look so fucking beautiful when you come. She blushes down to her breasts, and I lean down, taking one in my mouth.
You ready to be mine, Lily? Forever.
Chapter 20. Lily. Ren looks more scared than I am. The concern shows in every part of his face. My gentle giant. So fierce and hard for everyone else, but a marshmallow when it comes to me. Only for me. I wrap my arms around his neck, pulling him down for another kiss. I taste myself on him and moan into his mouth. It's erotic, and liking my taste on him does something deep inside me. His hard length brushes against my already sensitive clit, making me jerk. He's so freaking big everywhere, and I wonder if he'll even fit inside me. He has to. I feel like my whole body is on fire. I need this. Need him. Don't want to hurt you. His voice is a mixture of pleasure and worry. I look up at him and see him fighting his desire. He's giving me a chance to change my mind, putting me before himself like he always does. I don't want him to fight it. I want him to take me, to fully make me his. You never hurt me, Ren. I run my fingers through his short hair. Everything Ren does is done with the intention to protect me. I need you inside me. I wiggle against him, making him moan my name. I don't know if I'll last long, but I'll try. He groans, sliding his hands between us. He's still thinking about me. Always about me. Putting me first. It doesn't matter. It's already perfect. All of it. I tell him. I feel the broad head of his cock find my entrance as he slowly starts to push inside me. The tight fit makes me gasp. Ren freezes as I dig my fingers into his shoulders, and his eyes widen. Then he closes them as if he's in pain. Keep going, I whisper. His eyes slowly open. I want all of you. He leans down, taking my lips in a soft kiss. His tongue slipping in before he moves his hand to my clit and starts to rub me. My legs fall open a little more as he gently moves his hips back and forth, only the head of his cock moving in and out of me. He's bringing me closer to another orgasm. I try to move with him, my body begging for him to go deeper. Each time he thrusts, my pussy tries to lock around him and bring him deeper inside. Ren, please, I need... I pant, yearning for more.
I know, babe. Come for me. If you come, it'll let me in nice and easy.
He whispers in my ear, then takes my lobe into his mouth, sucking. I cry out as another orgasm takes me. Ren pushes fully inside me, the pleasure and pain all mixing together. His body stills while he rains kisses all over my face and neck, kissing me everywhere he can. The pain finally fades, and when one of his kisses lands next to my mouth, I turn my head and take his lips. It's deep and hungry, and I try to move against him, rocking my hips. The movement causes him to groan into my mouth.
Lily.
My name comes out in a pained voice.
Tell me you're okay.
Make love to me, Ren. His forehead drops to mine as he slides out of me, then slips back inside. I gasp at the sensation, and he freezes yet again.
No, it's good, Ren. It's so damn good.
I watch relief pass over his face.
God, I love you.
He growls as he starts to move. His hips drive back and forth. I try to move with him, but his big body bears down on me in the most deliciously possessive way.
Be still, Lily. Let me make love to you. You just enjoy every second of it.
I slide my hands up his shoulders and entwine them around his neck, watching as he moves over me. His body takes control of mine as the pleasure starts to grow once again.
I love you too, Ren. More than anything in the whole world,
I admit. He fills every part of me, parts I didn't even know were empty.
He makes me feel whole.
The broken pieces of me come together, and I never want to leave this place. I wish he and I could stay here forever, like this. Only the two of us.
You are my world,
he says, and my body locks around him. My feet dig into the bed as my body tries to arch up. I'm stopped by his hard chest as I scream out my pleasure. His words set off my orgasm, and then I feel his warmth fill me as he says my name over and over. It's intense and beautiful and so hot I almost melt. When I finally float back to my body, Ren has turned us so I'm on his chest, sprawled out on top of him. His cock is still deep inside of me as he keeps us connected. His big hands roam my back, and the soft rubs entice my heavy eyelids to fall shut. I don't want to go to sleep, I mumble against his chest. I don't want this night to be over. To wake up and have to go home. To face the world outside these walls. To face the times when I can't always be with Ren. To leaving the little protective bubble he's made for me. I never want it to end. I already know what I'll face when we walk out of here. I didn't go home tonight. And I know there will be hell to pay. But I know it was worth it. I will treasure this night for the rest of my life. I promise, Lily. We'll have many more nights like this. I'm never letting you go. He vows as I drift off to sleep.
Chapter 21 Ren.
I don't want to let go, I say, gripping her hand tighter. We're in my Jeep and we just pulled up to her house, but neither of us is ready to say goodbye.
Me either,
Lily says, looking at me and then looking at her house nervously.
Babe, please tell me what's wrong.
We made love all night and then three times this morning before we left the hotel room. But afterwards, I could see the curtain of dread fall over her eyes as we packed up and left. There was nothing I could do to cheer her up, and the time she smiled at me, I could tell it was forced.
I love you so much, Lily. You can tell me anything, I press, trying to get her to open up to me. She lets out a shaky breath and looks over at me.
I'm sad to be leaving you, that's all.
It's not the truth, but I let it go. Let me grab your bag and walk you in, I say, trying to help ease the transition. It's Sunday, and we've got plans to have a dinner and movie night, but it's hours away. She said she wanted to go home and change and get fresh clothes, and then we could meet up again. For some reason, though, I have this fear of letting her out of my sight. Maybe it's because we shared something so beautiful and deep last night that I don't want it to end. But my gut is pushing, saying something different.
No,
she says quickly, but then she softens it.
No, that's okay. My dad is probably still sleeping. I don't want to wake him.
Lily, I'm going to walk you to your door. I made love to you last night. I plan on being the man in your life until the end of time. I don't care about your house or money or anything like that. I'm going to be your husband one day, babe, I say, caressing her cheek. Her eyes snap to mine in shock, but I keep going. You're mine and I'm yours. Nothing will ever change that. I don't wait for her to answer as I grab her bag out of the back and then jump out, going around to her side and opening the door. I help her out and then hold her hand as we walk up her driveway to her front door. She takes a deep breath and turns to me, about to say goodbye when the door opens behind her. A man who looks old enough to be Lily's grandfather swings it open and glares at her. He's wearing a dirty shirt and pants. The smell of alcohol hits me and I tighten my grip on Lily's hand.
Where the fuck have you been, you little slut?
He slurs and stumbles against the door frame. Before I have a chance to react, he jolts forward and lashes out at her. A second too late, I pull her back, and he manages to graze the side of her face with the back of his hand. I recover quickly, pulling her behind my body and standing in front of her, shielding her from her father.
Lily, go get in the Jeep, I say through clenched teeth. I don't want her to see what's about to happen.
Bren,
she whispers barely loud enough for her to be heard, but the drunk cuts her off.
Oh, is this what you're doing?
He says, looking me up and down like I'm the trash.
Hope you had a good time. This isn't some hotel you can check in and out of like a whore.
He sneers at me, the look of disgust clear. He takes a step forward and I don't move.
I can't stand the sight of her anymore. She's nothing but a reminder of what I lost, and I'm tired of it.
Lily, get in the Jeep and lock the doors, babe. No matter what you hear, you stay inside there, I say, not taking my eyes off him. I keep my words soft because the last thing she needs right now is something harsh. Her hands tremble against my back, but a second passes and I hear her whisper,
Okay.
I stand there, the two of us unmoving as I listen for her steps and then the door to the Jeep closes. After I know she's safe, I take a menacing step forward. Her dad blinks a few times, as if seeing me clearly for the first time. He notices my size and takes a step back. I follow him step for step. Every time he retreats, I close in. Until eventually we are in the living room of the house, and I kick the door shut behind me without even glancing at it. No, my eyes are glued to him.
Get the hell out of my house,
he says with a confidence I know he doesn't feel. You laid your hands on my woman, the love of my life, so I'm going to lay my hands on you. I pull back and as hard as I can, I backhand him across the face, what he did to her. He flies back and lands against a table by the door. For a second, I think back to the bruise on Lily's back and all the other ones since. The ones she kept brushing off, saying she was clumsy. This man gave them to her, and I'm going to pay him back tenfold.
You think you can beat on her and get away with it? What kind of monster are you?
I kick him hard with my heavy boot, thinking about the bruise I saw last night on Lily's side. She is the gentlest, kindest, most special person I've ever met in my life.
And you hit her because she isn't your wife.
I lean down and punch him in the stomach, remembering the red mark she had there last week.
Because you're a drunk and you think it's her fault. You don't ever touch her again.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
I reach down, grabbing his dirty shirt in both my fists and pull him to his feet.
Do you understand me?
Yeah,
he coughs, but it's not good enough. I pull back my fist and punch him in the mouth, seeing his lips split open as he cries out.
Do you understand?
I shout, not making it a question this time. He nods and says yes over and over before he starts to cry. I let him go, and he falls into a heap on the floor. I stand there for a second, looking around the place, and then I see the stairs. I make my way up to them and to Lily's room. I grab a suitcase from the closet and start filling it up. It hits me that she doesn't have much of anything, and all her belongings can fit into one bag. I make sure to get her art supplies and pictures before I look around to double-check I've gotten everything. Once her things are cleared out, the room is bare. It doesn't look like it ever belonged to her, and maybe it didn't. There are so many thoughts racing through my mind, but the one thing that keeps beating down on my back is to get her to safety, to keep her away from this monster. When I make my way downstairs, I see he's still a crying heap by the front door. There's a moment when I put myself in his place and think about what I would do if I lost Lily. I would be a mess, and I might even turn to alcohol. But I know I could never do that to a child. I could never hurt something that was a part of her and something that she loved. He doesn't deserve a second chance. But that's not for me to decide. All I know is that I'll be the one to take care of her from now on, not him. I don't give him another look as I leave the house and close the door behind me. I walk down to the Jeep and put her bags in the back before climbing in and pulling her into my lap. I drive away from her house in silence because I need to get her away from here. Away from this darkness and all the things that have hurt her. I'll protect her from this. Forever.
Chapter 22. Lily. Ren only makes it a few blocks from my house before he's pulling over to the side of the road. I have my face cuddled in his neck, not wanting to look at him. I can feel the wetness on my cheeks and where I've soaked his shirt. I sniff when he starts to rub soothing circles on my back, trying to get me to calm down. He's telling me everything is going to be okay, and how much he loves me. He's saying that no one will ever hurt me again. I feel so embarrassed by what he saw. It's a dark part of my life I've been trying to hide from him. I didn't want him to see the dirt and sadness that coats me. His family is so perfect. Everything I could ever dream of having. When I finally get the courage to lean back, his eyes go straight to my cheek. He raises his hand and I flinch. Sadness shows on his face at my reaction. He doesn't stop, though, as he brings his hand to my injured cheek. He runs his thumb across it, and I watch as his jaw clenches. He tries to hide his anger, but it's no use. I see it there. I'm sorry, I tell him, feeling like such a jerk. I hate that I flinched, because I know he'd never do anything to hurt me. All he's ever done is take care of me. Make sure I'm safe. It's okay. I get it. You're scared, and years of living with someone like that can make you that way. Give it some time, and I promise you'll never flinch again. No one who wants to keep breathing will give you a reason to. I lean into his touch, wanting more of it. I've been so starved of affection over the years. I want to soak up all the attention he gives me. I don't want to go back there, I finally say, the tears falling from my eyes. He leans in and kisses them away. You will never go back there, Ren tells me fiercely. You're with me from now until forever. I cry harder at that, wishing it could be true. It sounds so wonderful, to spend the rest of my life like last night, wrapped up in him, feeling like nothing could ever hurt me because Ren wouldn't allow it to happen. But, I say, but he cuts me off. You're coming home with me. We'll finish out the school year, then we'll get a place near school. We'll figure it all out. I drop my head a little, thinking about what he's saying. I want to grab onto it so tightly, but I don't want to push Ren into something he's not ready for. I don't want him to do this because he thinks it's the right thing to do, and that it's the only way to protect me. You're it for me, Lily, he says, as if he can read my mind. Even before I took you home today, I didn't want to do it. I had to fight myself to take you there. It's going to be you and me forever. We're just moving a little faster than some. But I don't care. You and I are the same outcome either way. Sharing ourselves with each other like last night, and all the other shit that comes with that. It's happening, no matter how you spin it.
You really do love me, don't you?
I look back up at him, wanting to see it in his eyes.
More than anything in this fucking world. You're all that matters.
I love it, but it also scares me. My father loved my mom like that, too. It's a fear of mine, and I voice it out loud. My dad loved my mom more than anything in this whole world, too, Ren.
No, babe. I'm not sure I believe that.
You saw him. He wasn't always like that. He wasn't the best dad, but he wasn't like that before she died.
Lily, if you left this earth and left me behind, I'd be miserable. I probably wouldn't want to live. But you know what? If you left me with our baby girl, I'd spend my whole life raising her the best I could. Making sure I did right by her, and by you. Making sure that everything I did would make you happy, and proud of me. You'd leave this earth knowing that I would give our children everything. You would have no doubt about that. Not doing that, not taking care of the babies we made together, would mean that I didn't love you. That you didn't mean the world to me. Because if something means that much to you, then it means that much to me. If I were him, I'd grab hold of anything that reminded me of the woman I loved.
That makes me cry even harder. Ren pulls me close, holding me while I sob into him, taking it all for me.
You going to come home with me? Make it your home too?
He finally asks into my hair. I am home, I tell him. It's the truth. Anywhere this man is my home. He slowly moves me back over to my side of the car, pulling my seatbelt over me, then wiping my face of any remaining tears. He gives me a soft kiss.
You think your parents will be okay with this?
I ask, unsure how this will go down. I don't want to upset them. Over the short time I've gotten to know them, they've come to mean a lot to me. They've done so much for me that I don't want to overstep or intrude on their lives.
Even if they weren't, which they will be, we'd get our own place. I've saved up a good amount of money working, but they will be okay with it. In fact, my mom will probably be overly happy about it, he says with a smile.
That makes me smile. I love his mom.
Only fight we might have is you sleeping in my room. Our room, he corrects.
Ren, I can't sleep in your room. I know they have a guest room. I just thought that's where I'd be staying.
See? The fight's already started,
he says as he pulls the Jeep away from the curb.
Babe, you'll be sleeping in my bed, and that's final.
Chapter 23. Ren. My dad and I sit facing one another in the living room as we look over at Lily and my mom in the kitchen. Lily was quiet through our talk, and my mom said she wanted to make her some tea. She took Lily's hand and led her in there, mostly to give my dad and me time to talk, I think.
I'd like to ask Lily to report this, Wren. I know she may not agree, but I think it would be good to document this in case he tries to come back around.
I nod, thinking that me kicking the shit out of her dad probably wasn't the brightest idea, but I'd go back and do it all over again. That fucker deserved it. But I want Lily to be safe, and I know he's right. Having this reported to the police would be better than pushing it under the rug and having her dad come back with something later. I nod in agreement.
Okay, good. I'll call the police chief and have him come by the house so Lily can make a statement tonight. Bill is a good friend, so I'm sure he'll check on things and make sure she's okay.
He puts his elbows on his knees and gives me a thoughtful look.
You know, your mother and I are so proud of you, Wren.
His words take me aback. When we came home and sat down to explain to them what happened, they were both quiet. They shared a silent look before my mom took Lily from the room, but I thought it was so my dad could have a talk with me. One where I'd end up in trouble. I know I'm 18 and I've got enough money to get us a place, but I didn't want my dad to be disappointed in me. I didn't want to have to leave my parents' house under a cloud.
It took a lot of courage to stand up to him and get her out of that situation. We're happy that this is a safe place for her to stay, and she's welcome as long as she wants. I know you both are serious about each other. I can see it because your mother and I were the exact same way.
I nod, knowing it's true. They've always been over the top in love and were never very good about being discreet with it.
I want to ask something of you, man to man.
Okay, I say.
While she stays here, I'd like for her to stay in the guest room.
I start to protest, but he holds his hands up to continue.
You've got less than 3 months left before you graduate and you're out from under our roof. I ask that you respect us and our home for that short time until you both go to college.
Dad, we're both 18. I can get my own place.
I know, Wren. And you know that would break your mother's heart. It's your last few months before you leave this home forever. Save your money and stay here. Think about Lily and what she's going through. This is a big change for her, and we want her to feel safe here. I think giving her her own space and respecting a little of her privacy will go a long way to smooth things over. I'm not forcing you, son. I'm asking you as a man to give her this time.
I think about Lily and her situation, and I know my dad is right. She's been through so much, and I don't want to compound that with pressure about being in my bed. Even if it's not about sex, she might not be ready for so much so fast. I don't want to push her, and I want to make sure she's happy here.
Yes, sir. I can do that,
I say. It won't be easy knowing she's so close, but I'll do this for her.
Thank you for letting her stay here. Wren, we've grown to love Lily, too. And knowing she was in danger there this whole time makes me sick. I'm just glad she's here and we can all look out for her.
We both look over at my mom, who's stroking Lily's hair affectionately and giving her a plate of food. She leans down and kisses the top of her head, and I see Lily's eyes close. My mom wraps her arms around her, and it warms my heart to know that she's surrounded by love. My Lily deserves all of it.
Chapter 24. Lily. It's pitch black as I tiptoe down the hall to Wren's room. I silently turn the knob and open the door, closing and locking it behind me. When I creep over to the bed, I see he's sleeping. He looks so peaceful. I pull back the covers and slip under them, pressing my body to his. His big body rolls over to me, wrapping around me as he hums in his sleep. I have to bite my lip to keep from laughing, because it's so adorable. I lean forward, placing a kiss on his chest, and he stirs.
Lily?
He asks, his voice a little hoarse.
I thought I was dreaming.
I couldn't sleep, I whisper, burrowing into him more.
Oh, babe, I missed you too, but I was trying to give you some space.
I don't want space between us, I respond, kissing his chest again. I feel his erection against my belly, and it throbs with each touch of my lips. The heat between my legs flares, and I want him. No, I need him. It was a rough day, and all I've done is lie in bed and replay it over and over. I want to make the memories go away, and I know Ren will do that for me. He'll make me forget all the bad and feel only the good. I need you, I whisper. He rolls me over and slowly climbs on top. I'm wearing a nightgown, and he pushes it up, revealing my cotton panties. He reaches between us and shoves down the waistband of his sleep shorts and pulls out his cock. I move my panties over to the side, and he thrusts his thick cock into me in one fluid motion. My wetness helps him glide in all the way, and he holds himself there, moaning in my ear.
Fuck, Lily, you're so warm and soft. So tight.
He breathes heavily in my ear. We're still dressed as he starts to thrust in and out of my channel, making my ache for him grow. There's no better feeling than being full of him, of his love.
I love you so much, babe. You're going to be mine forever. My wife, the mother of my babies, all of it.
I close my eyes, clinging to him. His words are exactly what I want. I love you too, Ren, I say, kissing his shoulder. My climax rises as he moves down and sucks my nipple. I have to stop myself from crying out as I come hard and fast around him. I clamp down on his cock, his girth stretching me so tight, and waves of pleasure wash over my body. His hot cum fills me up, and I pulse around him, even more turned on by his release. We kiss softly as we come down and try to catch our breath. I want to stay in here tonight, I say, rubbing my nose against his.
Then this is where you'll be,
he answers softly, rolling us over without pulling out of me. I lie on his chest and close my eyes, sleep taking me fast. Now that I'm with him and I know I'm safe, the worries of the day have melted away. He takes me twice in the morning before I sneak out of his room and back into mine. I don't want to be disrespectful of Ren's parents and their generosity. So hopefully, if we can be discreet, we can have the best of both worlds. Because now that I've had him, I don't think I can go a single night without being in his arms. Chapter 25. Lily.
What are you doing?
I giggle, smacking at Ren's hand. He's been eyeing my outfit all day. Sometimes he looks hungry, and other times he glares like he doesn't like it.
I'm just buttoning it up.
Ren continues to do one button at a time, his big hands having a hard time with the little buttons on my new pink cardigan. It's one I got when I went shopping with Janet last night. She'd gotten off work early and stole me from the hardware store. We stayed at the mall until they practically kicked us out of the place. When we finally got home, both Rick and Ren were sitting out on the cold porch waiting for us. Now we had plans to go get me a cell phone after school, because Ren didn't like that shit of not being able to get a hold of me. Janet laughed and said, "Welcome to being with a Hendrix man."
I think it's more for looks. You don't really button it, I try to tell him, but he's clearly not having it.
Ren's hands linger when he gets close to one of the buttons that cover the very small amount of cleavage showing. He runs his finger along it before he buttons it, seemingly satisfied now that I'm covered. I really like the new clothes I got, and it's nice not having to worry so much about spending a little bit of money on them. It's nice not to have to worry about saving every single penny, trying to get out of my father's house. I know now that as long as I have Ren, I'm safe. I know that every night when I go to bed, I'll be wrapped around him. He mumbles something I can't hear, and I have to fight a laugh.
Ren, coach needs you,
someone yells from down the hall. We turn to see Zach from one of our classes standing there. I know he's on the football team with Ren, and they share random head nods at each other when they pass. Neither really says much to the other. A lot of people don't talk to Ren. I think some try, but his one-word responses don't leave room for conversation. I think people might fall over and die if they saw how much he talks to me.
Go, I tell him, cutting him off.
I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I'll meet you at our locker. He glances back over at Zach, and I can tell he's debating it. He's been in super protective mode since everything went down with my father last weekend. I love that he worries about me, because it's something I haven't had in so long. But I also know we can't always be together. I'm sure when we go off to college next year, there will be a lot of times he can't be directly by my side. It's something he's going to have to let go of sooner or later, no matter how much I enjoy it. He leans down, kissing me on my cheek, the same spot where the bruise from my father had lingered. It's pretty much gone now. The softness of his kiss melts my insides, like his kisses always do. I'll hurry, he tells me. It's fine. Take your time. His mouth covers mine in a quick kiss before he turns to leave. Everyone moves out of his way as he walks down the hallway. I watch him go, and he glances back a few times before he has to turn the corner. I want to laugh. I shake my head and move into the bathroom. When I'm in the stall, I lock the door and take care of business. But before I can step out, I hear some girls come in and start talking trash. Did you see what she was wearing today? I don't see what Ren sees in her. She dresses like a freaking nun. I recognize Kristen's voice immediately. I look down at my outfit, wondering what's wrong with it. I'm wearing gray boots with black leggings, a black shirt, and my cardigan over the top. I thought it was cute and warm. Janet loved it, and the way Ren kept looking at me made me think it was actually more than cute. It's me, and makes me feel comfortable and stylish. I roll my eyes. Whatever. I don't care what they think of me or what I wear. Whatever makes them feel better about themselves. Guess that's what he's into. Maybe that's what you've been doing wrong. Gotta downplay it a little. Makes sense with how quiet he is. You should try it and see how he reacts to you. I don't recognize the other girl's voice. I shake my head. I can't deal with these girls. Not that I blame them for wanting Ren's attention. It's consuming and intoxicating, and I'm addicted to it myself. I hear a huff of annoyance. Maybe I should cut my losses. I mean, did you see the bruises on her face? Looks like Ren likes to smack girls around, and I'm not letting anyone fuck with this perfection. I'm out of the bathroom stall before I can even stop myself. You can talk all you want about me, but don't you dare talk about Ren like that. I point my finger at Kristen, and both girls stand there in shock, with their mouths open like fish. I don't know if they're more shocked that I'm pissed and calling them on it, or that they've been caught gossiping and spreading lies. Ren is the sweetest, gentlest man in the world, and he's never laid a hand on me. I glare at her. Well, he's laid some, but I promise they didn't leave a mark. They've all been ones I've enjoyed. But you wouldn't know anything about that, because my Ren barely gives you the time of day. Kristen's eyes narrow, and she opens her mouth to speak. Don't. I cut her off. I don't know what your problem is, but Ren doesn't want you. That doesn't make it okay for you to say that shit. Talk about me all you want, but leave Ren's name out of your mouth. Or what? Kristen snaps. I pause for a second, unsure what the what is. Not like I'm going to hit her or something. I've been on the receiving end of a few blows myself, and I wouldn't ever do that to someone. Kristen is nothing more than a sad girl lashing out at the world. It doesn't make it right, but different people react different ways, and I suddenly feel sorry for her. Who knows what's going on at her own house or why she's so desperate to lash onto some guy to go away to college with? or I'll make the last few months here hell for you. I turn at Ren's voice and see him standing in the entry to the girls' bathroom.
You know I can, Kristen.
I think she's going to say something else, but his words must hold some weight. I know Ren doesn't do all the social stuff at school, but I can tell he's popular, even if he doesn't like that he is. Kristen grabs her bag and stomps out of the bathroom, her friend following her.
What did she say?
He asks as I make my way to him. Said you left the bruise on me. I absently reach up and touch my cheek.
I don't mean about me, babe.
You said you can talk all you want about me, but don't you dare talk about Ren. I want to know what she said about you and how come it's okay for her to spread her shit about you, but not okay for her to do it about me. It doesn't matter what she said about me.
Yeah, it does, and it pisses me off you don't think it matters. It fucking matters. You matter.
My eyes water at his words, because I know how much I do matter to Ren. He makes me feel like I'm his whole world. And if something hurts me, I know it will hurt him. I need to heal from my past, so we can move on together.
That fucker made you feel like you don't. Made you carry guilt about your own mother dying. So much so you don't think you matter, or that you're worth fighting for. He did that to you so that when he'd lash out at you, you wouldn't fight back.
A tear slides down my face. She was coming to pick me up from school. I stayed late to work on a project in the library, and she didn't want me walking. If I'd left sooner before it got dark, my mom would have never been driving. I can't even finish the sentence.
No, Lily.
Ren grabs me, pulling me into his embrace and wrapping his arms around me as I start to sob.
Your mom was being a mom by not letting her little girl walk alone in the dark. You can't predict those things. One small mistake and something bad happened. That's life, and that's not your fault. I bet your mom would have told you the same thing. Your father should have told you the same thing.
He growls out the last part. He always growls when my dad comes up. Luckily, he doesn't come up much. I haven't heard a thing about any of it since that day.
I know, I can't help but what if. I can't help but think that day I lost both my parents.
The what-ifs used to weigh down on me, but lately they've been letting up. I've been slowly healing. Ren and his family have been helping that process, and making me feel whole. I feel his lips on the top of my head.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life showing you how much you matter,
Ren vows. And I know with every part of me, he will.
Chapter 26 Ren. A few months later, I pick Lily up and hold her in my arms as my parents laugh and snap the pictures. We're both dressed in caps and gowns, having completed our high school graduation.
Okay, everybody say gopher,
my mom says, and Lily and I repeated it. We're both headed to the University of Minnesota, home of the Golden Gopher. I've had my full ride ready and waiting, and we finally heard back about Lily a few weeks ago. She's been accepted into their art program, and she couldn't be more excited. Her scholarships were enough to cover her tuition, and she accepted a work program in the department that will cover the cost of everything else. Lily and I plan on getting married next month so we can live in the university's family housing. The football scholarship I have makes exceptions for married players, and I intend to be one before I step foot on campus. I'm also ready to have Lily take my last name. She's been a part of this family for some time now, and I want that in writing. I proposed to her a few weeks ago, unable to stand it anymore. It wasn't the big production she deserved, but Lily didn't seem to mind. I kept wanting to make it perfect, but I couldn't think of a special way to do it. So one night, while she slept in my arms, I put the ring on her finger. When she woke up, she noticed it, and I shrugged. I told her I loved her and we were getting married in July. She shook her head and laughed at me. Then we made love. It was perfect in my book. We pose for a few more pictures before my mom is satisfied she has enough.
Okay, I think 700 might be good.
I want to roll my eyes, but I can't deny her making a fuss over Lily. I'd never take that away from her. I can't imagine what the wedding day will be like. My mom has been in overdrive helping Lily plan our big day. I don't care what we do as long as Lily is happy. She can't seem to stop smiling, and that's the most important thing.
All right, guys, go home and get changed. The reservation to the steakhouse is in about an hour. We've got to run by the store, but we'll meet you there,
my dad says, patting me on the back and giving Lily a hug. He and my mom leave, and Lily and I make our way to the Jeep. I walk her to the side and open it up, helping her in.
So we've got a whole hour,
she says, wiggling her eyebrows at me.
You know better than to give me that look, I say, leaning in and buckling her up.
She wiggles against me and I pause, looking up into her big, beautiful doe eyes. They're so blue today that I stay there and get lost in them.
You keep that up, Ren, and I'll make you take me right here.
Her words are breathy, and I'd like to tell her no way would I get inside her with all these people around. But we both know she has a power over me that I can't control. Home, I say, my voice deep with need. When we get to the house, I'm pulling Lily out as fast as I can and then racing up to the bedroom. Once we're in there, I toss her on the bed, and then I'm on her. We're both smiling and laughing as we throw off our robes, and then the rest of our clothes. I reach between us and feel exactly how wet and ready she is. I lick my fingers clean as I thrust fully into her in one long motion. She moans my name and arches her back off the bed as my mouth goes for her nipple. I start to rut harder and faster, needing to get her off as quick as I can. Sometimes it's a challenge to see how fast I can do it, how many times I can make her come before she makes me go over. I never knew sex could be like this, so powerful and amazing, but also fun. No one could have explained that being with Lily would be the greatest experience of my life, and that each time we joined, it would be better than the last. I roll us over and sit on the edge of the bed with my feet planted on the floor. With my hands on her hips, I work her up and down my cock. She weighs nothing, so I do all the work, and she sits on top of me, enjoying the feel of her clit getting rubbed with every pass.
That's it, Ren, right there,
she moans, and leans her head back, exposing her throat. I latch onto her there with my teeth, feeling her clench around me and then start to come. She milks my cock, but I don't go over, wanting at least two more from her before we have to leave.
That's it, babe. Now give me another, I say against her neck, working her steady and even.
She grips my shoulders and gives me a wicked smile as she clenches down on me. My breath catches in my throat and I hold her still, but it's too late. She knows exactly what she's doing, and her pussy grips me at just the right time to have me shooting my load inside her.
God damn it, I say through gritted teeth. You did that on purpose.
The waves of pleasure that shoot through me are short-lived as I pick her up and bend her over the bed. I slap her ass and she giggles, wiggling it in front of me. I thrust back into her and her giggle turns into a moan as I start working her pussy from behind. Leaning over her body, I reach down and start rubbing her clit.
You love making me come too soon, and you knew I was close. Now you'll be giving me three more orgasms before we go, so that all through dinner your pussy aches with what you made me do.
Lily moans and pushes back into me, loving my dirty words. We both may have started out as virgins, but we've learned a lot from one another since then.
Our story started out a little shaky, but there's so much ahead of us. We're lucky that we met when we were young, so that we get to spend more time together as one. She's my life and my future, and I can't wait to see what's in store for us. I'll always be at her side, making sure she's the happiest she's ever been, protecting her from danger. Because that's what I've been put on this earth to do. Shield my Lily. Epilogue. Wren. 3 months later. Lily, I'm home, I call through the small apartment. We've been on campus for a few months, and we've gotten into a routine. At first, I wasn't able to handle being away from her so much during the day, but we found a way to make it work. I meet up with her several times a day, and we always have all of our meals together. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, she's by my side. So I'm surprised that when I come home to walk to lunch together, she's not here. I walk around the apartment twice and start to panic until I see a note on the counter.
Wren, had to run and pick up a notebook at the bookstore. Meet me in the cafeteria. Love, your Lily.
I smile to myself before tucking the note in my pocket and hurrying across campus. I had training this morning, and I don't always have my phone on me, so she must have left me a note knowing I'd come straight home to get her. I was running late, but I can't have missed her by too much, so I hustle, thinking I can probably scoop her up in the bookstore. Literally. By the time I get there, I'm a little sweaty, but I don't care. And I know my Lily doesn't. Looking around the store, I check down the aisles, and when I spot her, my fists clench. She's so fucking gorgeous, and I can already see some curves forming on her body since we've been together. When I first met her, she was so skinny and slight, but I've been keeping her fed, and it's starting to show. She's wearing flip-flops with her cut-off jean shorts and a tank top. So much of her skin is exposed, she might as well be naked. And the guy standing next to her getting an eyeful is probably picturing the same thing.
Step away from my wife, asshole, I shout,
and the guy snaps his head up to me. Lily looks up from the notebook she's got in her hands, and I can practically hear her eye roll. I stomp down to where she is and pull her into my arms, then move her behind me. The guy slowly backs away, and I stand there growling.
Yeah, keep it moving.
When he's gone, I turn around to see Lily with her hands on her hips. My eyes go to her hard nipples, which I can see through the fabric of her tank, and I'm about to blow my gasket.
Are you not wearing a bra?
I whisper through clenched teeth. She looks down as if just now realizing she forgot to put one on, and I see pink hit her cheeks.
You're such a caveman,
she says, crossing her arms over her chest.
I scoop her up, throw her over my shoulder, and march her little ass out of here.
This is so embarrassing, Wren,
she says, hitting my ass.
Don't care. You're my wife. Nobody gets to see what's mine.
Wren, half the girls here are dressed skimpier than I am. It's college.
I don't see any woman but you, so don't tell me what other people are wearing. I don't give a fuck.
I carry her all the way back to our apartment while she fights me the whole way. But when we get back and I tear off her shorts, I eat her pussy until she agrees with me. I'm good like that.
Epilogue. Lily. Another 3 years later. I'm going to get a drink. You want one? I ask Wren, standing up on my tippy toes to do so. He turns a little to look down at me, his hand squeezing mine.
You're thirsty? I'll get you another. I didn't see you were out.
He looks down at the empty champagne glass in my hand, and I can tell he's irritated he didn't notice sooner. I hate to see him get upset. It's just a drink. Everyone is trying to talk to him. And I'd wanted to step back and let him have a moment on his own. But he hasn't let go of my hand since we got here. Hasn't since he left the stadium and scooped me up outside the player's exit, The hotel was only a mile away, and it took me half a mile to talk him into putting me down. Janet and Rick laughed the whole way. "Stay, I got it," I say, and his eyes narrow like I'm crazy for saying that. "The bar is right there." I glance over at the hotel bar behind us. I've been 21 barely a few days. I'd actually had my first drink on the plane out here to the national championship with Janet. Both his parents and I flew out together to catch the game. The two of them had already gone up to their hotel room to escape the chaos and partying that's going on here. Everyone is celebrating. I'm on my third glass of champagne and want another. "Ren, honey, I got it." I push, sliding my hand from his. He finally lets go, but not before placing a kiss on my lips. It's soft but possessive, telling me not to leave his line of sight. I turn and make my way to the bar to wait in the line, and I can feel his eyes on me. I look over my shoulder at him as a man in a suit snags his attention. They keep popping out of everywhere. The line takes longer than I expect, and when I finally get my glass of champagne, I see two blondes have tried to slide into my place. I have to bite back a laugh at the miserable look on Ren's face as I see them jabber next to him. His jaw clenches, and I know I need to get over there. One reaches up like she is about to put her hand on his chest, and his face drops into a deadly scowl. I giggle as the girl's hand stops in midair. Ren doesn't like to be touched, unless it's by his family or he's clobbering someone on the field. I down my drink in three big gulps, setting it back down onto the bar, then go over to him. I know we'll be leaving very soon. I can tell his patience has worn thin.
"Move,"
he barks, making one of the girls jump out of the way. He thrusts his hand out for me. I take it, and he pulls me into his body, wrapping his arm around me in a tight hold. The possessive action says it all.
"God, you smell good,"
he says as he kisses the top of my head.
"Their perfume is giving me a headache."
"Hey!" one of the girls says indignantly. Ren goes on ignoring them. I know their type, and I ignore them too. It's the best way to handle them. In college, all the girls know Ren wants nothing to do with them in any way. Not flirting, not his friends, nothing. It took a few games in the beginning to get it, but in the end, Ren's growls won out. Or maybe it was him always running off field and picking me up, him holding me like a doll and making out with me. But this is a new city, a whole new state, and they've just won the championship. But I don't care. Ren actually gets worked up when girls hit on him. He gets madder than me about it and ends up going all caveman with me, trying to show that he has a wife. Like he's utterly offended the whole world doesn't know he's married. I have a feeling that's about to happen. Anyway, like I was saying, my gaze moves to the suit speaking to Ren. He looks at me and his lips curve.
"You must be," he says. "And I'm done."
Ren cuts everyone off. I drop my head, trying to hide my drunken giggle. I know what's coming. I'm a little surprised when I'm lifted and cradled to his chest. I normally get the over-the-shoulder move when his caveman breaks out. "Are you hurt from the game?" I ask, laying my head on his shoulder and ignoring the hoots and hollers from the guys on the team. I actually like a lot of the guys he plays with. They are always really nice to me, and they appreciate when I drag Ren out to a few parties they've put on. He'd say he didn't want to go, but once he gets there, he loves to dance with me. Or maybe he just likes watching me dance. Either way, we have fun. We always do when we're together.
"No, I'm fine."
"You don't usually pick me up like this, so I thought something must be wrong."
"You've been drinking. I didn't want to upset your stomach."
"You're always thinking about me," I whisper, moving my lips to his neck. I nibble at him. He grunts, and I try to mimic the sound. He laughs at my attempts. Before I know it, we're in our hotel room, and he's tossing me on the bed.
"As much as I love seeing my name on you, take it all off. You know how I want you,"
Ren says as he starts pulling at his own clothes. I take my jersey off, smiling at him. It has his number, but it's the only one that reads Mrs. Hendricks on the back. I've had it since his very first game. I quickly strip off the rest of my clothes, because I do know how he likes me. Naked, with only my wedding ring on. It's how I like Ren, too. Though his ring is in the bathroom right now. He doesn't take it to the stadiums, always worried something might happen to it when he has to leave it in the locker room. But that doesn't matter. He got a tattoo of it on his ring finger, one that he never has to take off. I'd wanted to get one, too, because I take mine off sometimes when I'm drawing or messing with paint. But Ren ended up getting me a band to wear with his name engraved on it. He said there was no way something was marking my skin. I don't like when people try to take my attention from you, Ren says as he stalks up the bed like a lion. I know you don't. I let my legs part wider for his broad body. You have all night to give me your attention. How will you start? I tease. I let my head fall back, the alcohol catching up with me. Eyes, babe. I lazily open them at his command. He's on top of me, and I reach up, running my hands through his hair. I feel his cock at my entrance. First time is going to be fast to take the edge off, but you're going to come real good on my cock. You'll keep those eyes open, because I need them on me. He grunts the last part as he slides into me in one full thrust, and I moan his name. Louder! He barks as he starts to thrust in and out of me, filling me up, leaving no part of me untouched. Like he always does. Ren! I say his name louder this time. He leans back, pulling my ass into his lap, still thrusting. I watch where our bodies are joined, and the sight gets me even hotter. I never know how I get inside of you. You're so small and tight, but each time it reminds me I was made to fit you perfectly. When I slide right in and you moan my name in pleasure, I fit because I belong there. God, yes, I say, my orgasm pushing forward. Ren is not a man of many words, but in the bedroom, he could talk forever, and I freaking love it. You going to come for me, babe? I'll fill you up so full, make you smell like me so everyone knows you're my wife. Please, I beg. I'm so close. One of these times you aren't going to be protected. I'm going to give you all my cum and there will be nothing stopping me from putting my baby in you. Everyone will know then. There will be no missing who you belong to. The thrill of his dirty words send me over, and I come on him. Waves of pleasure flow through me and I feel the heat of Ren coming with me. Our pleasure rolls together like it always does, and I never know where his ends and mine begins. He leans down and rolls us, not letting his cock slip free. We lie there in silence, enjoying the feel of each other, his arms wrapped around me. They trying to get you to go? I ask, knowing the answer. Yeah, he says simply. I know he's been getting pushed by agents to go into the draft this year, to not finish his senior year and go into the NFL. I'm not scared. I already knew what was going to happen, but Ren hasn't said a word about it. You want to move off campus or stay in the marriage dorm? Maybe get a place with a little more room? He says, closing the door on him going to the draft. I knew this would be his decision, without discussing it. Ren isn't going anywhere I can't go, and I still have one more year left of school. He would never go into the draft knowing that I have to stay behind. I want to talk him out of it, but in the end, it will be the same result. Ren doing what he wants to do, and that includes putting me first. No, I like it small, I say through a yawn. I like us tripping over each other. None of that. Ren rolls us over again. You're not going to sleep yet. His cock slips free and I moan. I'll wake you up, he says in my ear as he starts to trail kisses down my body, making his way between my legs. He doesn't let me fall asleep until we see the sun come up. But I never complain when I end up wrapped in his arms.
Epilogue. Ren. another 2 years later. I swing the front door open so hard I'm surprised and relieved it doesn't shatter. Lily has spent the last few months making our new home perfect, and I'd hate to mess it up. It's absolutely beautiful, and I'm so fucking glad to be here. I was over the moon when I got picked up by the Minnesota Vikings. I didn't think it would happen. They had the first round pick, and I knew I wasn't going that soon, so I just prayed that maybe they'd get me in the second. I wanted to stay on board until then, but to everyone's surprise, they'd grabbed me up right out of the gate. I think everyone watching thought I was excited about being the first draft pick. I was excited that my Lily and I got to keep our roots and we could stay close to home. Lily had become so attached to my mom and dad that I wanted them close. I had plans of our family growing in the very near future, and I knew sometimes I'd be on the road. A few times a year I'd be away, and I wanted her to be near them. The alarm sounds in the house, and I slam the door shut and hit the code, turning it off. Where the hell is my wife? Fuck, I hope she didn't stop to do something before returning home from my parents. I had asked her to stay there while I was gone. I knew I'd feel a lot better about being away at training camp if she was with them, but she'd told me last night she was coming home first thing in the morning. I wasn't set to be home for another few hours, but I got the fuck out as fast as I could to get back here. 2 weeks away from my Lily was fucking hell. If I wasn't building a life for us, for the babies I want, I'd probably have said fuck the NFL. But I was pretty sure you couldn't get paid to follow your wife around all day and fuck her on every available surface. I pull my phone out and check her location. We both keep ours open to each other, and it tells me she's in the house. I rip through the place in search of her, not caring about anything else. I almost feel like I can't breathe. Even talking to her on FaceTime every night wasn't enough. I needed to touch her. Hold her silky skin in my arms, fall asleep with my face buried in her hair while her smell filled my lungs. I think I put up the best practice ever in my life, taking some of my rage out on the field. Being away from Lily put a hurt on the guys that got in my way. There was no question I'd be starting this year. Once I get upstairs, I go straight for Lily's drawing room, the main reason I'd bought this house. It has a giant sun deck, and when Lily saw it, she talked about how beautiful it would be to draw up here. The house is situated up in the mountains with a spectacular view, and I knew once she said that we'd have it. I open the door to the sun deck and find her. Her back is to me, the sun pouring in as she sways her hips. I can see the earbuds in her ears. She's probably listening to something she picked up in college. She always loves to dance when we go out, and I always love to watch her. The shy girl she once was is slipping away, blossoming right in front of me over the years. She's my precious flower I was put on this earth to protect. I walk up behind her and stop when I see what she's drawing. It's a picture of us standing in front of this house. But that's not what takes the air out of my lungs. There are little kids everywhere in the drawing, all of them looking like us. As if she feels me behind her, she turns, her face lighting up as she throws herself at me. She drops her pencil, the earbuds falling from her ears, and I catch her easily. I lift her up so we are at eye level, my hands clutching her ass.
I missed you so much.
She rains kisses all over my face, and I can feel all the tension of being away from her leave me. Then her mouth lands on mine, and I break. Pushing her back against the closet wall, I deepen the kiss, letting my hunger pour out. I'm going to make sure every child she drew in that picture comes true.
Epilogue. Lily. Another year later.
Ren, oh God!
I scream out as I come, my third orgasm rocking through my body. I go completely lax and try to catch my breath.
I don't think I can go another round. Not after the two before we got to the bed. And now waking up to this, it's clear my man is on a mission. Mission fill me with as much cum as possible. It's almost noon, and there is no sign of us getting out of this bed. Ren pushes his hips like he's trying to get further inside me, his warm release spreading deep. I wiggle under him. Don't move, babe. I don't want any getting out. His tone is stern, and I fight a giggle. He slowly pulls out of me, but then he lifts my legs in the air. I can't fight the laughter then. My fits shake the whole bed. Lily, stop laughing. You're going to push it out, he says, almost panicked. He drops my legs and then cups my pussy before sliding a finger inside me, like he's feeling to see if I lost any. I laugh even harder, tears running down my face. Ren gives me a hard look, then a smile pulls at his lips. Fine. Laugh. You know I love that fucking sound. He lies on the bed next to me, propping his head up with his hand, the other hand going to my belly. The laughter still rises in my chest. I can't wait to see you round with my baby, he says, rubbing me there. Fuck, I've had you 5 times in the last 24 hours, and I'm getting hard again just thinking about it. I turn my head to look at him. He's so happy, thinking about us having a family. His parents are going to be over the freaking moon. Our parents, I correct myself. I call them Mom and Dad, and they are just as much my parents now. I haven't heard from my dad since the day I left his house. This is my family now. Janet has been dropping hints about babies for a while. Okay, maybe not hints, but flat out saying she needs some grandbabies. And I'm ready for them, too. I have the time. We both do. Ren has a lot of off time with the NFL. Work for me is easy. I've been doing children's books, and my own projects, too. With Ren, though, I don't really have to think about my art making money. I can do what I want, whatever makes me happy. And I love that. Not only because of the freedom, but when I'm happy, Ren is happy. And there's nothing else in the world that I want other than to make Ren feel what I feel. What do you want, boy or girl? I ask. Doesn't matter. We'll be having many, so I'm sure we'll have both over time. He keeps rubbing my belly. Ren, I say his name softly, making him look me in the eye. I should probably tell you. I pause for a second, hesitant. I still want to laugh about his moves to try and knock me up. There's already a baby in there. He closes his eyes tightly and drops his head a little. He's quiet for a moment before he finally opens his eyes again, looking at me. I've always thought I was brought into this world to find and protect you, to shield you from the ugly things out there, to not let any more darkness touch you. And I do still believe that. But I also think you were brought into this world to light up my life, Lily. The moment you walked into it, I came alive. We both need each other. We could never be whole without our love, I tell him, reaching up and touching his face. I love you so damn much, babe. I'm going to be the best damn dad to all the babies you give me. I know you will. I lean up to kiss him. I love you too.
Epilogue. Ren. 6 years after that.
Are you sure you don't miss it?
Lily asks me. I look over to her breastfeeding our youngest and smile at her. Not for a second. I lean forward, kissing her, and then move down to the floor to watch the game with our two oldest. My mom and dad have our other two upstairs playing, so it's quiet. For now. Some people thought we were crazy to have 5 kids, but I can't seem to let Lily go long without knocking her up again. I love putting babies inside her almost as much as I love raising our family. Our first two, Gavin and Austin, are watching the Vikings take the field, while our twins, Eva and Victoria,
or making my dad play dress-up. Our fifth, Brandon, is only a few weeks old, but we're professionals when it comes to babies, and he's chilling with his mama on the couch. I retired from the NFL last season, and haven't regretted it for a second. It was getting harder and harder to be away from the family, and I decided I didn't have to do that anymore. We had enough money saved up that my grandkids would never want for anything, and that seems like more than enough. What I wanted more than fame and money was time with my wife and kids, and I was tired of missing out. Lily knew it was coming even before I told her. She's always the one to see my next move way before I do. When I told her, she smiled and said to do what made me happy. I was lucky I didn't have any injuries, and I got out while I was at the top of my career. Football was never my true passion. That was always my Lily. And now our babies. Leaning over, I kiss Gavin and then scoop up Austin, doing the same to him. The boys start laughing, and then it turns into a wrestling match on the floor. Life is good. Life is so damn good.
Epilogue. Lily. 5 years after that.
What in the hell do you have on, Lily?
I turn, hearing Ren's stern voice from behind me, and I have to hide my smile. We dropped all five kids off this morning at Rick and Janet's to have a little anniversary weekend together. Ren said he wanted to stop by the cabana table and get more towels. So, I decided to take off my cover-up while he was away. He didn't see my new bathing suit, and I wanted to surprise him. Looks like it worked. He stomps over to me, quickly pinning me back on the sunchair and draping a towel over my body. He looks around like someone could possibly be watching us, and I start to giggle. Stop laughing. This isn't funny. He's still looking around like there are men just waiting to see a mother of five in a bikini. I may not have the body I did when Ren and I first got together, but I don't care. Ren loves all my imperfections, and he lets me know it. So, I decided to wear something a little skimpy to make myself feel sexy, and I'll be damned if he's going to stop me. We're staying at an adults-only spa, and most of the women here are topless. We've got a private cabana away from everyone else, so it's not like someone would even be able to see us if they tried. And hello, there are boobs out. Why would anyone bother looking at me in a bikini when there are boobs out in the open to look at? But Ren doesn't see this logic. I'm going to carry you back up to the room, he states, and starts to pick me up. Don't you dare, Hendrix, I say, and he snaps his head up to look at me. He knows when I use our last name, I mean business. It's private over here, and I want to give you something sexy to look at, so that when we go back to our room before dinner, you can tell me just how much you enjoyed the view today. He grumbles, but looks in my eyes and sees I'm serious. After a moment, he lets me go, but walks over to the curtains and pulls them shut, tying them off. I roll my eyes, but let him do this, thinking if that's what it's going to take to make him happy, then so be it. The sun coming through the top should be enough to help me get a tan. Lying back, I close my eyes and feel the warm rays shine down on me. After a second, I feel the weight of Ren as he moves onto my sunbed. Then I feel his big hands roam up my legs and to the ties of my bikini on my hips. Ren, what are you doing? I say, not opening my eyes. You can't have this laid out in front of me all day and expect me not to get a taste. The cool air hits my exposed pussy right before his mouth covers it. But it's not there long before he's moving up my body, and then his cock is pressing against my opening. That's not just a taste, I moan as he enters me in a leisurely thrust. Got too hungry, he grunts as he works his thickness in and out. He fucks me three times before he can't stand it anymore and has to take me back to the room. I would laugh, but I'm too worn out from all the pleasure he's given me. Our weekend away is spent mostly indoors, and when we pick up the kids, I'm as pale as when we left. But my heart is full, just as it has been since the day he walked into my life, since the day Ren shielded me from everything except his love. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Shielding Lily by Alexa Riley, performed by Lori West and Hunter Milbrook, engineered by Laura Stahl. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.